Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
Do you want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool episode. I think we're on episode 32 of season 2. And before we get started, I have a very, very special guest, someone, a very fresh face for a lot of you listeners of Lights, Camera, Pod. So please introduce yourself.
What's up, guys? We were supposed to have an interview just now. And the interview got delayed to another day. And so we're just sitting here with time. And I was like, oh, let's just do news. So for those who don't know, hi, it me, Jeff D. Lowe. On the road for Barstool vs. America, our reality show again. And it's cool, but I think our timing is even crazier than last year. So we don't really have that much time. And I wasn't able to record on Sunday because my hotel Wi-Fi was horrible. I couldn't even load a YouTube video. It was so bad on Sunday. And I took like 2 vacation days before that. This Sunday, I might be able to do it. I'm hoping to swing it. But I was like, fuck it. Let's just talk news. You got me here for another 20 minutes. Because I feel like there's, I'll just make note. We did this for a shorter version, and the interview got delayed, so now we can do a longer version. Thor trailer, I love. That's all I'll say about that. It's a teaser, short. Marvel hadn't had a short teaser trailer in like years. I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like this was great music too. Sweet Child of Mine playing, love that.
Yeah, it was, which is funny, by the way. We were close. Our fake trailer was very, not far off.
Very, very close.
It was. Flashback stuff, yeah, it was good. I'm so fucking excited for that movie, and I bet we'll get a different trailer at the end of Doctor Strange
for sure. Yeah, we got a couple other cool things too.
I'll make you jealous. Guess what I had the other night?
Oh no,
I had checkers.
Oh, you. So I was driving through. I had a wedding in New Jersey this weekend, and I was driving on the highway. I almost made my girlfriend pull over to go to Checkers because I was like, they just saw like a sign for it. It's like, hey, $7 for a big Buford fries and a drink, and I'm like, I'm there. Well, we didn't end up going, which is kind of a bummer. I fucking love Checkers.
Our data guy at Barstool, Michael Greer, awesome dude. He's Canadian. He's never
Machine
had
gun
Checkers.
Greer.
He was in Chicago working just for the week because he went to the Dozen live show. He's like, hey, do you want dinner? He's like, yeah. I'm like, he's like, what are you getting? And I've been like eating pretty good because I have to fit into my clothes for this trip. But something went wrong with our edits. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to eat garbage food. And I went in. I was like, holy shit, they got a Checkers nearby. So I ripped some Checkers. It was delicious. It was very good.
What was Machine Gun Greer's first impression of the Checkers seasoned fries?
He was like, oh, this is great. It's all he said. I was like, okay.
That sounds right. Yeah.
They gave us so many fries too. He's like, this is, yeah, he was fired up. He really liked it. So we shared a little bit with Canadians the other day. We showed them something new. Felt right.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Why not?
What the fuck has else happened? And I feel like I've seen a couple of trailers come down the docket, but I haven't really been able to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about Fantastic Beasts yet, but I'll next time I'm on Full, we'll talk Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Cause I've been on a bit of a Harry Potter kick. I rewatched the Cosmonaut picture show, like Harry Potter breakdown. Cause I was thinking about the other day when Lucius Malfoy almost killed Harry outside of Dumbledore's office, which is just insane.
Murder a child in front of the principal.
You're just gonna kill. You're just gonna kill him.
Yeah,
he's just gonna kill him right outside his office.
A 12-year-old. He was gonna just kill him dead. It's halfway through the curse too. It's crazy.
Throw some other news at me. What do we got here?
Yeah, so we have Hayden Christensen said that he watched all of Clone Wars and Rebels, which is a crap ton of watch time. That's like days of watch time to prepare for his return as Darth Vader, which I think is cool. Because especially towards the end of Rebels, you get a more of a look at Vader, Anakin as Vader, which is voiced by Matt Lanter or something like that. The guy,
Matt Lanter. He died. Yeah. He's alive, but he died in Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. But yeah, he's he voiced him in that. I was curious if you ever asked him like how his portrayal was different than his own, because they both were like kind of different versions of Anakin. I actually like Matt Lanter's what they let him do with Anakin more than what they let Hayden Christensen do. So I'm interested how he did that.
It's interesting because I watched actually. So our other, our friend, Mr. Sunday Movies, we haven't had him on a while. We have to have him on. Maybe Thor, but they have their thing called Caravan of Garbage, where they break down like bad movies or like comic booky stuff. And they finally did Phantom Menace and they talked about it. And Meso, who we had not had on, who is James' co-host, was like, you know, the technological advances are incredible. He had not seen it since 1999 when it came out. Or maybe for like one, they did a rewatch. They did like a commentary. He's like, I had not sat down and like paid attention. And he said, like, you know, the technology is incredible. He goes, it really is. Like, no matter like what you say about it, you look back, it was great. And he goes, but also the movie's a piece of shit. He goes, I fucking hate this movie so much. That's what I like about the Hayden thing is that and anyone who's watched Rebels and Clone Wars, like, it's a different vibe than the prequels. And so for him to he's fired up to be back. He's got to kind of capture the Clone Wars and Rebels vibe as opposed to the prequels vibe.
Exactly. So I like very different. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so got pumped. A first look at Jaimin Hansu, our good boy, whose interview we sat on for like a year and a half or whatever for
Birthday Quiet Place Part 2.
It was. We got a first look at him in Zack Snyder's new movie Rebel Moon, which looked, I don't know anything really about this movie other than like that little base synopsis they gave. And the picture of Jaimin Hansu looked sick. Like it was like black and white, which of course Zack Snyder, and just looked sick. He looked really, really cool. Don't know a ton about it.
I haven't really been on the pod too much since the Oscars, and I forgot about this, but like a week after the Oscars, you and I got a little bit of shit, I sure, in DMs from the Zack Snyder crowd. Because we tweeted from LCB, we were like, no matter what, the best moment in movie history is the Avengers thing. I mean, a complete clout play. I mean, I agree with it. It was my favorite theater moment. And we got a lot of like Snyder stuff. And then I just started sending all my scores and our scores of like the Zack Snyder Justice League release. And we liked it. And then people were like, all right, well, still fuck you. Like, we're glad you like him. But I sent our interview link. I'm like, I'm friends with Zack Snyder. So I don't know what you're talking about. I don't fucking Snyder.
I remember that we did a couple joke tweets like just joking about like, don't forget about when Flash entered Speed Force. That was the craziest thing of all time. And I remember I tweeted about it like I think I said, wow, Zack Snyder should just run for president because he knows how to like drum up votes. And like Zack Snyder fanboys were replying to me very earnestly, like, yeah, he should. I'd vote for him immediately. It's like, yeah, I don't doubt that.
I don't even know if he's commented on it, but I stand by the fact if he would have heard. He wouldn't have wanted people cheering in the theater for that moment. It was an emotional moment in the movie.
Exactly.
But we've got a good fan base. I don't know.
I'm glad to see him get I'm glad to see him get some sci-fi stuff again. You know what I mean? Like in some like weirdo fantasy sci-fi shit. Like, and I know like superhero stuff's like all under that banner too, but like some more like sort of original property stuff. Cause this is like, what is it about? It's an original story he created or co-wrote with the guy who wrote this, and it's about a peaceful colony on the end of the galaxy threatened by armies of a tyrannical regent named Balisarius, and a bunch of civilians with a mysterious past, have to seek out warriors from nearby planets to help them. So doing Seven Samurai in space. I like that. So, and I like that for Zack Snyder.
Yeah. He's somebody who like, he has an undeniable vision and look. And if it's not your look, that's fine. And sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work. Well, for me, at least personally, for me, it doesn't work. But then when he makes good shit, like I will stand by this. Zack Snyder Justice League was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
300 when it first came out. Awesome. He's done good shit. I think you're right. I like that something original and different. He's going to like really be able to. I like the idea of him putting his own style and vibe into it with his own thing where it doesn't look forced and weird is great. You know what? I feel like we got to. Oh, it's on the news list. You got to skip because I only have like 5 minutes. You got to skip to the Johnny Depp thing.
Oh yeah, Johnny Depp said he never saw any of the Pirates movies and that there's nothing on earth that Disney could offer to get him to do another. Which, that makes sense.
Which, like you, like you got to add context for like where that came out.
Like they, what did they ask them? Like he said, like, I think they asked him about like his, the influence of Amber Heard on him or something. And she's like, he's like, yeah, I was basically doing it just because I wanted more money or something like that. Was that it? And like, she wanted me to make more money or something like that.
Depp initially told the, it happened in the deposition, which is insane. Yes.
Yeah. That
insane.
Happened. Insane.
I was traveling and I was listening to some clips and reading stuff. And I was like, kind of like in and out of figuring out what's going on. And I'm like, wait a second, what the fuck? This came from the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. How does that come up? Yeah.
Depp initially told the court that Disney had cut ties with him just days of the Washington Post piece was published. However, Heard's attorney later pointed to an October 2018 Daily Mail article that Depp was out as Jack Sparrow. Heard's lawyer questioned how his client op-ed could have affected Disney's decision. It was published 2 months after, and he talked about, like, you know, not being in it and like why he wasn't in it, and like it's just the whole trial is crazy.
Him having to recount the time that she pooped in their bed was so funny, because he's like, he really handed up, like he put in that like the dramatic pauses and everything. It's like, yeah, it was human fecal matter. It's like, that's so Johnny Depp. Just
look, it's also very really like, we were very hard on Johnny Depp too.
Yeah, and but we only had one side of the story, and like the other side, right, was retroactively,
like I'll admit, like very much, like it doesn't matter what side you are, and like abuse, all that, like it's bad. And I retroactively, like, yeah, we were completely wrong. Mm-hmm, but this, agreed. And so there, but and I say that to say, there's nothing funny about this. However, this trial is very similar, at least the look of it, to the fake Tim Heidecker trial with the On Cinema universe
yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Heidecker even tweeted out the photo. It's like side by side. The whole thing is crazy. But the Pirates of the Caribbean thing, I was in my Uber. I'm talking to the Uber driver, but I was like listening in my headphones to the thing and just reading. Cause I was like reading up on it. You had posted a story about the shitting in the bed. I'm like, I got to see this. And I was like, am I like on an old story about Pirates of the Caribbean? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this?
Just absolutely insane.
They're cross-examined. They're like, all right, thank you, sir. Also, He's a Pirate, great song. Good for football highlights back in the late 2000s. Every football highlight had He's a Pirate.
I know. That's a great song. That's like that's Hans Zimmer, I believe. And that's like just one of those great, like iconic, you know it the second you hear it songs.
Wait, is it Zimmer? It is,
I'm
right?
I'm pretty sure it's Zimmer. Zimmer or Horner, one of those two. Let's see. I think it's Zimmer. Zimmer or Horner?
Hans Zimmer did 2 and 4, but did he do? Yeah. So actually the best theme is, you know, in the second one, they're being chased by that big wheel.
That
was like a remix theme. And I guess Hans Zimmer did that. I mean, I like the second one. We've talked about this. The Curse of Black Pearl is amazing. Second one, I like. Third gets a little away.
That's when they lose it.
What's his face is in it. What's his face is in Dead Man's Chest. He's the British intelligence director or something, and he's the prime minister in Mission Impossible Fallout.
The British prime minister.
He's the British prime minister in Mission Impossible, the Rogue Nation.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
Tom Hollander.
Yeah. He plays the Dutch East India guy.
Lord Cutler Beckett.
Yep, that's right. He's in Jurassic World 2, I think, as well. Or like Jurassic World 2, the actual movie, if I remember right. Yeah, weird actor. But yeah, it's just bizarre. Yeah. Although I think we've noted this before, no one came out with a more of a win-win-win out of this scenario than Johnny Depp, because he didn't have to be in Fantastic Beasts, got paid his full salary to not be in it. And what now, the court of public opinion has totally flipped, where like now everyone's shitting on Warner Brothers for cutting him in the first place. So like he's won this scenario so far. It's crazy. Like so badly.
Man, imagine being cut out of a dumpy franchise and still getting all your money.
$10 million to not be in a movie.
I guess this is like the irony is that I'm saying, I don't know if I believe him. I don't know if I believe that he's never seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but I like it. What if he's never seen those, but he's watched like
The Secret Window 500 times.
No, what's the other Disney one? The Lone Ranger. He's like binge The Lone Ranger. Like he just can't get enough of it.
You know what's funny? That was another piece of news that came very late, was that the guy who directed Call Me By Your Name, was named Luca Guadagnino or something. He's directing a movie with Timothy Chalamet about a cannibal, which is very funny in retrospect, because he was with Armie Hammer, obviously, in Call Me By Your Name.
What is the rest of the news? It's all budgetary stuff with Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is costing $20 million an episode, but like that to me isn't even that insane. It's more crazy. Stranger Things costing $30 million an episode, a $270 million budget for a season of fucking Stranger Things, which is bizarre. And like which they wonder why they can't make money.
I've seen really random like product placement for Stranger Things recently, like bananas.
Oh, that's how you know you got a good marketing campaign. Once you get on the Chiquita bananas, like you really,
yeah.
That's like reserved for like BB-8.
What's the villain in Stranger Things? What's the monster called?
I don't fucking know anymore. I'm so far removed from Stranger Things, and I don't think I'm ever gonna look back.
Yo, the name will the Demigorgon. The Demigorgon.
Yeah.
He's on like bananas, and then I saw him in McDonald's or something. Actually, yeah. Fuck it. We'll move on from movie news before I go here. Chicago McDonald's. I didn't order it. Basket of fries.
Really?
You can get like a basket. It's
like a checkered basket or?
Yeah, it's a size in between a medium and a large.
Okay. I kind of like that. Was it good?
Like, because, you know, maybe you're feeling a little gluttonous, you know, and you want a little more. So you get the basket of fries. It was in the Chicago McDonald's and not the Rock and Roll McDonald's, which is different, but I went to the McDonald's in Wrigleyville. Which Wrigley Field, awesome, by the way. Have you been? You've been to Wrigley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, Wrigley and Wrigleyville in general, like that's like one of the coolest places, like subsects of any cities I think I've ever been to.
Like unbelievable to say, like Wrigleyville almost underhyped, but Wrigley Field almost underhyped.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool. The bleachers were incredible. Other food stuff. Have I been on since I went to Rainforest Cafe? I think I was.
I think so, yeah.
Talk about that. It's the worst food I've ever had in my life.
It's all about the experience. Yeah,
we took large, so we were in San Antonio. So I was still in Austin. They were in San Antonio for a boxing thing. So a bunch of people have been on this pod: Nick, KB, Large, and obviously Large. Like Large is not a snobby guy, but he's a foodie. So like he goes to good food places. Again, not a snob, but he's open to ideas like that. And he's like, yeah, he's like, we'll go. Is that or Dick's Last Resort? And he's like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wish we would have gone to Dick's Last Resort. He goes, it was so bad.
Jesus.
At least he got a snapper, and the snapper gets on the table. He looks at me, he goes, do you want this? I'm not going to eat this. It's terrible.
Jesus. It's an experience though. You get to hear like the, what do you call it? The thunderstorms in the middle of your dinner, which is always cool.
Right. Right. I guess that's, the Lightyear trailer was fucking sick.
I kind of wish this was like an R-rated thing. Cause like the fucking animation is so cool.
I didn't expect to see Zurg. I like, now we know the idea of it too. Like I think it's gonna be cool. I'm very optimistic about that.
Me too. Great voice cast. Just kind of different.
What are the next movies coming out? So
I guess Multiverse of Madness would be the biggest one. I can't believe I'm seeing that relatively soon.
What comes out this weekend? Nothing.
I'm trying to think what else.
Weekend there's nothing. Interesting. And then it's a gap until Doctor Strange. I mean, I will be back for Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. I'll at least be back for Doctor Strange. Hopefully I can hop in on Sunday. I will be in, I think, Madison, Wisconsin. Cool place. Yeah. Which I did a bit on Twitter that me and Owen, who people know if they listen to the bracket, we're gonna try a Nashville hot chicken sandwich in every city and rate them. It just to be an asshole. Like I don't really care. Like but the first DM we got was somebody, because we were like, no matter what, I'm going to rate the Madison. Madison, Wisconsin is great food, but I assume they're not known for Nashville chicken hot or Nashville hot chicken. And this guy DMs us. So he goes, dude, I swear to God, best Nashville hot chicken is in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm like, oh, wow.
No okay. way. There's like a cheese thing involved in this.
Yeah. I was like, it seems a little, that doesn't seem right, but okay.
Speaking of Owen, I'm not sure if you heard this line he had on the last episode of the bracket. We did like most disrespectful things. And one of them, the matchups was cutting lines versus spitting in someone's face. And Owen goes, I think the Venn diagram of line cutting and spitting in faces is our boss, which is so fucking fun. Just an unbelievable pull from Owen. That was so funny. Make sure you're listening to the back bracket.
The bracket's been great. And that's, people asked about that too. Kendrick's going to host that when I come back, but I'll come back in the summer when the dozen's over. And I'll come in just to kind of rotate you guys. It's been great. Glad people enjoy it. It's fun. I haven't this one, but I've been fucking dying laughing. So
the last one's very, very good. I think that might have been our best one yet. It was so funny.
All right. Enjoy. Don't want to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, we'll everyone.
Do. All right, now on to the second half of news. No Jeff for now, but it would be me and Robbie giving you a little bit of breakdown of the last couple things. One of the things that we forgot to talk about, Jeff and I, was that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are going to star as Sonny Vaccaro and Phil Knight in a movie about Nike's signing of Michael Jordan. They're going to co-write it and Affleck will direct. Affleck, obviously very good at directing. Both of them are obviously good at writing as well. I mean, Good Will Hunting, you can go back to that. This is a story where, like, I don't know a ton about it, which makes me more excited. And also, I think getting the primer of it in Winning Time was good as well.
Yes, because they have that scene. Exactly what I was about to say. That was sneaky. It was a very quick moment in Winning Time, which I've loved the show. I think Ken Jackson, you kind of like it.
Yeah.
But Phil Knight showing up, a little waspy Phil Knight trying to sell his shoe. And that's kind of what the plot here sounds like, is Phil Knight, Sonny Vaccaro trying to sell. I'm sorry if I butchered that Italian last name, but trying to sell Nike to Jordan. The one thing I am worried about is Michael Jordan's not going to be in this movie, which I do think is a good decision.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're choosing to focus on just the signing of Michael Jordan, which I do know that's like the biggest brand partnership probably ever. But I think it would have been more interesting to just see the rise of Nike and them getting that brand off the ground and maybe culminating with the signing of Jordan.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they almost do the same thing as Winning Time, where they show them trying to pitch it to other athletes.
And yeah, like I would love to see that because it is a really cool story. I think it's based off the book that Phil Knight wrote, Shoe Dogs, which everyone who's ever read it has told me it's a great, I mean, just incredible book, but I can't read, so that's off the table for me.
It is crazy. I'm just looking at a list of revenue from footwear from 2010 to 2021.
Oh, it's Jordan. It's insane.
It's Nike has 20. It's doubling the next most, which is from Adidas and then Puma down at the bottom. But like to show, I think, the origin sort of that and like them being like this tiny little company from like Washington State or
which
whatever.
They might do that.
Oregon.
But
either.
Yeah, I really hope they go that direction because I'd love to see the brand get off the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be really fun to see.
Yeah, I think that if they were to if they're doing this, they're going to have it where they're going to show like parts of bits like going into the future. It's not just going to like I doubt they would end the movie on him getting signed, but maybe that's like a halfway point and then you know him making the brand what it is.
What do these people look like? No,
I only have the like Phil Knight.
I know Phil Knight. Like who's playing? So I'm going to guess Matt Damon plays Phil Knight, right?
Yeah, I would guess.
I don't know. Well, no, because Sonny Vaccaro is really... Well, you can't tell because he's standing next to an athlete, so he looks short already. I don't know, because now I'm just thinking, what if we get two straight movies in a row with them together wearing just absurd prosthetics?
Yeah. You never... They'll figure out a way.
Last Duel straight into...
For who? Matt Damon? Oh, well, he's going to... They're also doing Oppenheimer right now, too, so I'm assuming Oppenheimer would come out before
Is Affleck
this.
In that, too?
Affleck's not... surprisingly, he's like one of
taking
three
a break
actors.
After the snail movie.
Yeah, fuck, man. So bad.
Yeah, they're going from Last Duel to this.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think they signed on to the Last Duel thinking that they're signing on to the Last Dance?
You never know. Maybe that's like they misread it, almost like the Coen brothers thing with Garfield
and like, oh, Bill Murray.
Yeah, that was another piece of news I forgot about. Bill Murray got shut down that movie set, Aziz's movie set, because Bill Murray's inappropriate.
I don't want to touch that.
It's not that. It's like Bill Murray's kind of a notorious dickhead. Like, and it's more likely like he like cursed someone out on set, and they're just like that person complained.
He gets a bit of a pass for some reason.
Yeah,
huge ass. Chevy Chase kind of gets the.
He literally fist fought Chevy Chase on SNL like backstage.
I don't know.
Crazy.
I might be an asshole like Chevy Chase too if I had to work with Bill Murray.
Yeah,
just kidding.
You never know.
But I mean this should be good. I feel like people have kind of shit on both these actors in the past like 5 years and called them washed. But when you look at like their last few projects, I mean outside of I can't remember Snail Movie's name now.
Deep
outside
Waters.
Of that, I mean they've both done great projects. I mean The Last Duel. Despite, I mean, critical...
I like The Last Duel, man.
Critical response to a certain scene and, you know, commercial response. Great movie. And The Way Back was great. Stillwater looked dumb in previews and had no business being as good as it was.
Yep.
Damon was great in that. Ford versus Ferrari, fucking fantastic. Another true story. I mean, these guys, I mean, they know what they're doing. So I'm excited for this. All the boys in Boston are going to be there day one.
They're going to be going nuts. I figure Father Stu is a movie that Matt Damon would have been in for some reason instead of Mark Wahlberg. That seems like a movie like he's going to make his own version of Father Stu.
See, the thing is, if Matt Damon was in Father Stu, I feel like it would have been more of a real movie.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. Mark Wahlberg doing Father Stu, just something about it feels so ad-libbed. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It seems like something they would do in like an SNL skit or something, like for like a fake movie.
Oh yeah, shout out to the LCB Discord, Father Stu. They love that movie.
Oh, I'm sure they're obsessed with it.
I promised them a shout out.
Okay, so next up there was, and this is like I guess our last bit before we'll go into our review of The Northman. There's a trailer for a movie called Fire Island. Fire Island is like, I used to go to Fire Island all the time. It's like my town is the boats, like the ferries leave from the town of Bayshore to go to Fire Island. So like I used to go there over the summers a lot. Big island, lots of places. They are very famous for having a very small, long-standing gay community. And that's why like if I would go to other places, like even when I went to college, for example, like I was like, oh yeah, like on the summers, like I usually go to Fire Island. They'd be like, oh, so you're gay? And I'm like, no, it's like a big ass island. It's a big town. Like, it's a lot of like they're very touristy areas, and like a lot of celebrities live there too. Like, John C. Reilly actually lives there during the summer. Tina Fey does. A bunch of other people. Like, I'm sure Baldwin has a house there. Awesome, awesome place. One of the best beaches in the world, I think. Like, well, I've been to every fucking beach in the world, but like, it's their sand is like white powder. It's gorgeous. Great beaches. Awesome little town. Everything's great there. And this movie is obviously going to be focusing more on the gay part of the island and like their community within it. And it's got a pretty big cast. It's got, you know, Joel Kim. It's got Bowen Yang. It's got Margaret Cho. And actually, so there's one guy in this, Matt Rogers, who I went to high school with, which
That's
is crazy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Just bizarre. He does a podcast with Bowen Yang, which is kind of cool. But yeah, we went to high school together. We ran track for like five years.
I knew a famous actor. It'd be so cool.
It's definitely not a famous actor, but he is an actor, for
Any
sure.
Kind of actor.
Yeah. And he's going to be in a big old movie. I think, what is it? They're going to do this on Quibi. I forgot about that when that was originally announced.
Wait, but then they were going to do this on Quibi?
Yeah, and then they got bought out, I guess, when Quibi went defunct by Searchlight Pictures. They filmed it all through to 20.
I'll be honest, that is not a great sign.
Yeah, that's never
great. All due respect to your alma mater. not a great sign. And I just watched the trailer.
It's like, okay.
I like Bowen Yang. People shit on SNL all the time, and especially his dumb Titanic bit. But outside of that, I mean, there's always bad skits on SNL. I think he's pretty funny. This movie's really not for me, believe it or not. I'll probably watch it since it's coming to Hulu.
Yeah.
I don't have any thoughts on it.
It's made by Andrew Ahn, who made
a lot of shirtless men.
Driveways. Yeah, no, that's the best part.
Not great for my self-confidence.
It's a dude's rock movie. But yeah, Andrew Ahn made it. He is the same guy who made Driveways, which is a really good movie. But yeah, that's the last little bit of news before we just jump into the Northman. Before we do that, let's hear from Game Time. You know how when you're wearing a great outfit and everything looks just right and like your confidence is way up? You know, you can walk in a room knowing you're in your A game. If you've been struggling with erectile dysfunction, then Roman can give you that same feeling in the bedroom. Roman swipes are a clinically proven way to help you last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but don't require a prescription. Roman ships the swipes to you free, 2-day shipping in a discreet, unmarked package, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you are good to go. All you have to do is go to GetRoman.com/lights today to get $10 off swipes when you sign up for the monthly plan. Thank you to the folks over at Game Time. All right, time to talk about The Northman. The Northman, if you haven't heard of it or you just want to hear the non-spoiler part of it, it's about Prince Amleth, who's on the verge of becoming a man when his father is brutally murdered by his uncle, who kidnaps the boy's mother. 2 decades later, Amleth is now a Viking who raids Slavic villages. He soon meets a seeress who reminds him of his vow to save his mother, kill his uncle, avenge his father. Alexander Skarsgård, Anya Taylor-Joy, Willem Dafoe, Ethan Hawke, Nicole Kidman, Clayce Bang, who's a Trollbollens special. Everyone, if you listen to LCB, you know Trollbollens loves Clayce Bang. He played Dracula in that really terrible, I think it's the show is just called Dracula on Netflix. But he's a good actor. $90 million budget from Robert Eggers, who obviously the Witch, he did The Lighthouse. It has currently sitting at an 89% on Rotten and 67% audience score.
Okay, that's kind of what I was expecting when I left the theater. I was thinking some people are really going to love this. Others are going to fucking hate it and feel like they were sold a movie that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think there's sort of like this mixed reaction that I've gathered from like just word of mouth more than anything, actually. For the people that love it, like they really love it. Like I love this movie. I'll just say it off the bat. I really, really liked it. So like, I feel like once you're, it's bipolar in that sense. But I think the people that don't like it have like kind of different reasons for disliking it. Like I've heard people say they don't like the studio interference and like, that's why like, oh, the artistic integrity was breached. Like there's so much studio interference. And then other people are saying like, they wanted it to be more action heavy and they wanted it to be more like you were saying, like it to be the sort of movie that like is sold to them as like this John Wickian thriller action thing. And instead they got something that was more like structured like a play or more structured drama. And like, so it's weird that the people that don't like it are on very different sort of camps and versus it being like everyone having this one huge common complaint about the movie. But for me, I understand the criticisms, but I think the movie was just really awesome. I think it combined elements and structure from like Shakespeare, but also felt like this cool revenge thriller like Old Boy or John Wick, and it just dressed up in this very artsy clothing that like Robert Eggers is just really good at. And I really, really liked that mix of sort of genres and structure, but I can understand how it's grating for some people, I think.
Yeah, no, I loved it too. Kinjik, have you watched like any Vikings shows before, anything like that, consumed any like Vikings media? Like?
Yeah, so I've seen The Last Kingdom, which is a great show. Well, it's a great bad show, but I love that show. The actual show Vikings. Obviously Assassin's Creed Valhalla played through that. It's another Trebon special. Valhalla Rising, a couple other random Viking properties. So like that's something where it definitely helps you because this is very deep lore.
I think that if you have the background in kind of that Norse mythology and kind of the Norse culture, really, I think your enjoyment is heightened quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You kind of understand what their culture is all about, especially from the revenge factor and kind of their culture of war and battle and honor and all these things, where you see that it's I'm getting a little mixed up here, but the driving force of the movie is a revenge movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect him to change towards the end, which we'll get into the spoilers later. And I think they just really, he really nailed it. He really did. I watched, and I really love this, and we're going to plug a little anime here, Vinland Saga, which kind of follows that same story. And I think the author of that anime also stole from this story as well, which is Omelet, which I'm sure you know is kind of what Hamlet stole from.
Yep.
Which is kind of funny because you look at the name Omelet and it's literally just the letters rearranged,
yeah,
creates Hamlet.
Exactly.
So he's not sneaky about it at all. It's beautiful. It really is a beautiful film. And one of the things I immediately thought of leaving the theater was because of all the new Lord of the Rings stuff coming out and you see all these new pictures, I'm like, this is what medieval fantasy should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just looked amazing. It was grimy. It was bloody. Just the grittiness of it all. It looked so good. I might go back and see it again, to be honest.
I think I definitely need to.
It's a movie where people say you don't need to go out of your way to see it in theaters, but I really think you do. Mm-hmm. I think it looks so good on a big screen.
It was gorgeous. I think on the acting side of things, I really like Skarsgård in this movie a lot.
He was so jacked.
He was popping his traps.
Can we just take 1 second
dude
to talk about that?
His traps. How did they get him like that?
He's so big. I did not realize he was that big. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
He did a scene breakdown through Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
I think is the one who does it. He's standing next to Robert Eggers. Robert Eggers looks like, he looks like a little man.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Robert Eggers and his large adult son. It is insane how big he is. And
yeah,
he just ripped. Is he ripped or is he jacked? Is the real question.
I think he's like he's so his muscles are so defined, but he's so physically large. It's so hard to explain. Walking around
grunting like an animal. It was awesome.
Perfect. Keep going though.
Alex Skarsgård, amazing.
Yeah, he was really really good.
And apparently loves Viking culture and has always wanted to make a Vikings movie. So this is like a dream come true for him.
He looked great. I think he was really delivering a lot of moments throughout the movie, like a lot of really good screams in this movie, a lot of really good like just moments of betrayal and despair. And I think Nicole Kidman after that was the most impressive to me because she...
I disagree with you there.
So here's what I think is that she sold me as the sort of like, I don't know how exactly to put it, this like... It's like a resigned leader, right? Where she's like, oh, I'm just stuck in this situation. So like, I believed with Amleth that she was like doing this all against her will.
Playing the part, yeah.
Yeah. And then like when she did like that final, like the turn, the heel turn, it was like so fucking good and so evil. Like that moment where like she
tried. So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Everyone in my theater was just squirming in their seats during that. You know, I was squirming because I was thinking, I wish Nicole Kidman would choke me, but
yeah. Which is, you know, this is, you know, what's actually kind of funny about watching this is that I've been so fucking sick of seeing her AMC pre-roll bullshit, and then like when I saw this movie, ironically there wasn't it because there was a screening, so it just went straight into the movie. So I got missed an entire AMC Nicole Kidman preview for the first movie I've seen of hers in a theater in a very long time.
I don't see that AMC. I'm not an AMC guy. I'm actually a Regal guy. Got their chicken tenders for this movie, by the way. It's fucking phenomenal. So I never get to see her little preview except if it's online. And then I die laughing.
It's so goddamn annoying. Yeah, but I thought that she was really good in it. I definitely wanted more Willem Dafoe because I feel like his character in that beginning first act, like he was really good, really creepy, really like kind of leaned into that... sort of like a magical mysticism of
the very career. Willem Dafoe role.
Very Willem Dafoe.
But I was like half that. Expecting him, by the way, for him to whip out his massive cock.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's doing the Jesse, I was like, is his dong out?
I was like, oh, nope, you never know.
Not out.
but I thought, I just wish we got more of him. And I think I really like Anya Taylor-Joy. But I feel like her character is almost unnecessary in this. Like, I feel like the movie could have completely existed underbaked. On its own without her.
It was underbaked, and I only say that because I liked her performance. It's just the romance plot there. It felt like they showed up, you know, once they got to the slave camp or to the farm, and they're just like, "Well, I'm hot, you're hot,
yeah.
Let's make this happen."
Yeah.
And there was just kind of, because it's like, well, I mean, you know, berserkers, didn't they kill her whole family? Like, he just finished, like, murdering her whole town. And then she kind of was just like,
yeah,
ah, whatever.
Yeah, you're with me. Because you're dressed like a Slavic guy as well.
I like Anya Taylor-Joy a lot.
It's just like, I feel like anytime you have a character in a movie where, like, the movie could completely, like, they're a main character and the movie could completely exist without them being there, then, like, why... Why force that? And maybe that's
I do think she needed to be there because there needed to be a conflict at the end for him to either make the decision to go and live his life and, you know, be with, what was her name, Olga.
Mm-hmm.
Most attractive Olga to ever live.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was a big time. That was great. All the Olgas everywhere love this movie, I'm sure. Really helps their value.
Side note, bartender at a bar I go to on... you know, a couple nights a week for, they have great wings. One of the bartenders' name was Olga, and the first time she told me that, I thought she was fucking with me.
Yeah.
Which is like, not a great foot to step off on. But yeah, no, I do think that plot needed to be there. I just think it was just undercooked. I think there needed to be a redemption for him in her eyes, if that makes sense. Like, I think he needed to regain her trust in a way.
Or gain it at all, because he just, again, murdered everyone she ever knew or loved in one spot. But I just think that she could have... that's something where, like, I feel like Robert Eggers just really likes Anya Taylor-Joy and was like, yeah, I'll make this fit for you. Like,
I was going to bring this up later, but Robert Eggers is building sort of a Tarantino... like an Eggersverse, like where they like to use the same actors and actresses over and over again, which I love.
Yeah,
And he's, instead of going with the quirked up white people like you'd see with Wes Anderson, he's just going with the very unconventionally attractive white people.
Exactly. He's a big fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move into spoilers too. We'll mark it.
Yeah, we were kind of already there, but not a ton happened, so it's not much to spoil.
Yeah. But while we're on just in the spoiler end of it too, I think from the technical end of things, I thought the movie was just absolutely stunning.
It looks every bit of $90 million, which is what the final budget came out to, which is tough because this movie only made $12 million opening weekend, which is, I mean, tragic. I know the budget got a little bloated, I think, because of COVID, which is tough, but I think it was already, you know, up there like $50, $60 million. And it's not going to come anywhere close to making that back.
No, but I think that the thing is that the budget did show, and that like it felt like watching a real myth come to life, and like that dive into the lore. I think the way that they portrayed Valhalla, the way that they showed like the drug trips was so cool. And this is a complaint I've seen a lot that I agree with, is that like they should have leaned more into the drug hallucination and like the illusion part of it, which like if they did that and at the cost of action, it would kind of suck. But like I really did think that that was the coolest thing in the movie. And obviously anyone who listens to LCB knows that I'm the world's biggest lover of long takes, and there's so many great
the action
takes.
Sequences.
So
they
good.
Don't cut away.
Never, dude. The scene on the raid on the village. They follow him throughout the entire thing, over the walls, across the field, like into the town, everywhere through that. That was like a 5 minute take. That was
It was great. It looks. I mean, I can't get over how great it looked when you're talking about Medieval. I mean, it might be the best looking medieval fantasy movie.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better one off the top of my head. I mean,
absolutely
using
stunning.
Today's technology and just today's effects. I mean, it looked so good.
I wonder what that sport they were playing was.
And not even just the action sequence. I loved this, you know, when a character would be giving a monologue and they would just go straight onto the face, and he'd be looking or she would be looking straight into the camera, and they would just keep it there. It was just chilling. It was just awesome. I mean, I loved it.
A lot of really good conversations, and I think a lot of really good standoff moments. Like all the conversations between Amleth and his uncle were, I thought, amazing. That's Clay Spang was really, really good in the movie, I thought. His conversations with his mother were great. His conversations with Olga, like all those sort of like little tiny moments where they just talk about those things are great. I really like the family tree thing. I thought was really interesting. Like the trees have always played a huge part in Norse mythology, obviously. So like that's something that's very big for them. I thought the final closing fight scene was sick, and like that hellish atmosphere,
it was so
of that
awesome
volcano, and then like the Valkyrie coming down to carry him to heaven was fucking dope.
I saw someone compare it to Obi-Wan versus Anakin. It's like Obi-Wan versus Anakin, except a lot more gory and a lot more bloody.
Yes. That scene was sick though, where he fucking carries up she carries him up into the Valhalla and just cuts to end right there. I thought that was a brilliant stopping point. Like, no, like, oh, and then the twins got born, and then it's like, yeah, I don't care.
Oh,
about
yeah,
that.
No,
revenge
that's,
is over.
If you know the Norse mythology, that is what they strive for. It's to go to Valhalla being carried by Valkyrie so they can fight with Odin. It was awesome.
Carved up teeth too on the Valkyrie looks sick. That whole ending fight scene, even with the beheading moment, was so cool.
I thought he was done for when he took that. When he took that huge gap, I mean, just a massive gash to the arm.
Yeah,
never seen a cut
that was so disgusting,
dude. It was disgusting. But I guess that's what a cut like that would look like. I mean,
that was another really gross scene. Is when he goes to the villa like overnight with his thing. Oh, that was another thing we forgot to talk about, was the scene where he fights the Draugr, like the zombie thing, was fucking awesome. That was another great long take. That was so cool.
And I was like, is this happening?
I didn't know if it was an illusion or not.
The one thing with the, you know, the mythical things and the fantastical things in the movie, Eggers did a really good job of incorporating that, and those are huge parts of Norse mythology, but also keeping the story incredibly grounded.
Yeah.
Which was a tough task. I mean, it could have gotten either way. You could have just turned it straight into a fantasy movie, or just left all that, you know, all of that out completely and just kept it as a straight action movie.
Him fighting that thing, it was so cool. Then in that same act, I believe, is when he meets the other seer, the one that has Willem Dafoe's head as like a trophy.
Yeah.
Thought that scene was really, really cool. A lot of those moments, I think, in that final third act were really, really incredible. Definitely, I think people, another complaint I think is that it maybe is a little long-winded, but like I think that I can't think of scenes where I'd be like, you needed to cut this to make this fit. You needed to cut, like, I want all of those scenes in there because I think all of them are really cool. Like, and I actually want to see the, like, I would just, like, behind the scenes featurette, deleted scenes or whatever, because I want to see more of it. So there is stuff that, like, I can see as, like, can be perceived as negatives. The long-windedness, I think it dives super deep into Norse mythology lore-wise, which, like, yeah, like, that's going to turn some people off if they don't know it, for sure.
One of the early takes, too, the early screenings, Eggers kind of commented on this about a month ago, and he said during early screenings that you know, the viewers came out of the screening and were just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, that's not great. Because apparently it was just a lot more, even more Norse mythology on early cuts of the film.
Yeah. But that's like, that's I feel like what's good is like when you lean more heavily into it, like that sort of thing makes people more interested because the stuff they don't know, they want to now learn. And it's not like you can't have it be like in another language, basically, where like they can't, there's no subtitles sort of, but like you can make things where like there's extra steps you can take after the movie to figure things out or like, you know, sort of research on their own because people do like that. And I think that you can notice in certain spots there being a little bit of studio touch up in order to make the movie more palatable, but like it's nothing to me that stood out a ton.
I don't see much at all, really. You know, most studios, when I think about studio interference, a movie like this just wouldn't be made.
Yeah,
it wouldn't, like, at all.
Exactly.
And that's why you've never really seen anything like this. I can't think of another movie with this kind of budget that looks this great that tells a story like this.
They just don't happen. And it's because like they're afraid of what's happening to this movie happening. But I think that they were smart enough to give this one a chance because this movie is really great. I'm happy. I'm going to give this movie a 91. And I'm very happy with it. And I'm really bought into the movie early, which I think made it easier to watch. It's so different than like I think any movie I can remember seeing recently, almost in the same vein of Everything Everywhere All at Once, but in way different ways, where like I've never seen like sort of like fantasy, like you were saying before, like fantasy action done that way ever, where it's like it's like the artistic filmmaking being put onto a genre that would normally, like that same movie, The Northman, could be made by like a fucking
Michael. If this movie was made in 2003...
Yeah,
it's just a completely different movie. It's,
yeah,
I don't even, you know, it's like Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
It could
or something.
Be, yeah, it would be like what was the Carl Urban one, where it was like the same thing. It was like he was abandoned as a Viking baby in America or something. But yeah, like there's movies like that, like where they would take it in a totally different direction. But I love this direction because it's fucking like, in a sense, like it's tasteful. It's fucking different. It has like the elements of like all these old school storytelling things like Hamlet, like we were talking about, and also combining really cool film techniques that you would usually only see in like artistic films. And now like you're seeing it in like this big action revenge thriller. And I just thought that was so cool.
You know what's really funny too about the Hamlet thing? And you know, everyone says Lion King is just, you know, Disney Hamlet.
Yeah.
Is that like Robert Eggers is breaking down the scene he's breaking down that I was mentioning before is when the young Omelet leaves home and he's on that boat and he's rowing and then it cuts to him rowing as an older man.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, that's just, I was watching Lion King and I pulled it straight from Hakuna Matata, which is like, you know, when he's walking across the bridge and it transitions him from a young cub to an older lion. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's great. That he's just like, cool is able too. To like bring it full circle from, you know, the story that it started with to another story and then bring it all the way back to the original one. I love that.
That one was cool too because that shot where they zoom in on him on the boat, like it starts out like you're just staring at a river from the riverbank, mm-hmm. and like the camera, I don't know how they did this, like crane wise, but like it follows them out to the river onto the boat right in front of Skarsgård's face. I don't know how the fuck they did that. I thought that was a crazy good shot. There was a couple other good ones like that in that sort of 10-20 minute span of that first raid, like where they do the dance and get into like
when they're going berserker. Oh, yeah. They're dancing.
That
it's
was
so cool.
Cool as all
me
hell.
And the, me and the boys on a Friday night.
Exactly. That's what we should. I want to do that for what do you call it? The scene after they're done when they're all just sitting there howling like dogs.
Also, speaking about the howling, when it's Tim and Ethan Hawke, when it's him and his dad,
yeah,
the movie, when they go and they're getting high with Willem Dafoe or whatever, and he's like, "Prove that you're not a beast."
Mm-hmm.
Just. Ethan Hawke just lets out a big belch, belch, and then I can't remember the kid's name that played Young Omelet, but he just lets out a big old fart.
Yep, and that was like a cartoon.
I laughed
fart.
In the theater. I laughed out loud in the theater. I was cracking up. Nobody else was laughing. I looked like an idiot, but I was like, farts. I mean, if you listen to the bracket, farts just don't.
Farts,
they always
make
play.
You funny. They never miss. They literally never miss. It was just, I thought it was really good. Ethan Hawke, I thought, was really good in that limited screen time too, which is
That's one of the points I did see was that people wished that there was more to the beginning to create more of like a connection, I guess. But I didn't see it as that. I saw the whole movie as just the movie was a straightforward revenge plot movie, which you need to get that on the road.
Yeah. You need to get out of that spot. But I thought that was cool. His little sort of moment or whatever, like, cause like that's like a very concentrated punch for Ethan Hawke, which I thought was really smart. And his like ending little speech to his brother was really cool. But yeah, that's the Northman. I think both of us liked it a lot. What would you give it? 100?
I'd give it an 85.
That sounds right. I think it's a movie where I will not knock anyone for not liking it.
Yes, or
not
I can see just people not liking it. Yeah. Also, I can see the complaint that I thought it was going to be Braveheart. I've seen that complaint a lot. In the marketing for the movie, they did push it in that direction, which is understandable because you're trying to get the general audience in.
Yeah.
And that's just not what the movie was, which not a problem in my eyes. But yeah, I could see getting sold on that and not getting that and being upset.
Yeah. Like it's a movie you need to have a certain set of expectations going into it, and it can't be I'm watching Viking John Wick or I'm watching whatever action super like basic action thriller. Like, it's not that. It's like kind of like just more of a structured play thing.
Where would you put this in Robert Eggers' filmography? Well, between the Vitch and the Lighthouse.
Let me go check for you. Yeah, I have a very handy website where I can do that.
Also, Robert Eggers being asked if he'll ever do a movie in modern times and just saying fuck no.
Like, nah,
he just said no, thank you, which I love. I hope that this poor box office shit doesn't come back and like they don't let him do anything else like this, because this is just awesome. I think there is a hit in there somewhere. He loves all this old medieval, old fantasy stuff.
It's working. I mean, look at Green Knight.
Shakespeare like, stories. This works. Yeah.
I have the Lighthouse and the Vitch both at 88. So this is a few points higher than that.
Okay.
Which I think is, I would definitely stand by that.
I like the Lighthouse a little better. I like the Willem Dafoe. I love Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
And Robert Pattinson. I always love it when an actor can break through like that. And I felt like he really broke through there.
The Lobster monologue was so goddamn good. His full on, he did like that full, like, 10-minute monologue. They're like, oh, may Poseidon break you down. They just try it. And like Robert's like, yeah, fine. I like your lobster. It's okay. And like, it's so good. All right. Yeah. But now we're going to move on into a little draft we did with a few people from the office. So enjoy that. It's very strange. We recorded it before this. I think you guys will enjoy it. Baseball is back, and the only place to get the best, cheapest last-minute tickets is with the Game Time app. Have you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? You know, being behind home plate, first row in the little outfield, catching dingers. It's all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats that you never thought you could buy in any one of these sporting events. I mentioned this, I think, in the last ad, but I used them to go to a Yankee game a few weeks ago. It was awesome. Got really, really good prices on the seats. I love this app. It's so much fun. I'm buying all of our sports tickets through the Game Time app. And the best part is you get $20 off your first purchase. Download the Game Time app, go to the account tab to create a login, and then redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Download Game Time. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Sweet. All right, time to start our general movie draft. And the way this kind of worked out was we had very late needed sort of like a sub out because of Jeff's scheduling issues and all of that. So we decided, why not just drag in a bunch of people to, like, you know, just do a general movie draft. We're going to do a bunch of different categories. We're going to do one drama, one comedy, one sports, one sci-fi / fantasy, and one horror. And joining me is our producer, Bob, because obviously we can't call you Robbie because people were so confused that you were not Robbie Fox.
I mean, there's a lot of people named Robbie out there that also happen to be Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
But for our less, I guess...
educated?
I don't want to say educated, but maybe the fans that aren't ready for change and don't want to hear two different Robbies that are also Star Wars fans, we're just going to go with Bobby for now.
Yeah, okay, that works. But also joining him, with myself, we have Tommy Smokes, who you'll know if you listen to the bracket. We also have Rudy. Rudy, I feel like... you've never been on an LCB thing before, other than like our Instagram stories, right?
No, yeah. First time.
Okay,
welcome,
cool.
Welcome, buddy.
Yeah, welcome on board.
Did you just butter me on someone else's podcast?
Yeah. Rudy's an interesting cat because I think you are someone who I think is a sneaky cinephile. Is that a good way of describing it?
I like movies a lot. I don't have like a crazy knowledge, but I have like a tertiary knowledge of movies, I guess you could say.
Don't sell yourself short. I mean, on the dozen, it feels like you always kind of come in and at least pick up the slack for the rest of your squad.
I know the hits. I'll say that. I know the hits. Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of guy that's like going to see indie movies, really. Mm-hmm. but I know the hits.
Well, that's good, because there's not going to be a ton of indie hits when you have like such. This is like such a broad draft that's going to be tough. And we also have Enrique, who essentially runs all of Barstool here. And you are also kind of a sneaky cinephile as well, I feel like.
I am. I love a movie. I'm a watch a movie, then look at all the IMDb facts while I'm watching it kind of person.
That's like the one really good thing about Prime Video is the X-ray vision. I don't know if you guys have used that before.
Yeah.
It's like that little option. You click it, and it shows you everybody in a certain scene, and it also gives you all like the trivia about whatever you're watching. Very, very cool. It's like the one good thing Prime Video does.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
The original series are actually pretty good.
Yeah, too. You're watching Valkyrie, and it pops up with trivia. Like, Tom Cruise did not use a fake ass in this
exactly.
scene.
They have that. They have like, what did I watch? Then they have like the original stuff like Bosch. Bosch rocks.
Sorry. I don't know about that.
Bosch is an awesome show. But anyway, we're going to run right into it. Our order, which I randomized before we started, it's Enrique first, then Rudy, then Bob, then me, then Tommy. So Enrique, you get to start first.
Great. What's our first category?
You get to pick anything you want. Like literally anyone in any category you want to start out.
Wait, are we doing like snake draft style?
Oh yeah, it's like snake draft style.
Got it. This is my first draft, so I'm trying to...
Then I think I want to go with horror first.
Okay.
I think one that I want to put on the list for today is The Others with Nicole Kidman.
Did not expect that.
I really enjoyed that one.
I remember watching that on...
Tommy is stunned.
Never even heard of that movie.
I remember watching that on...
No.
I watched it on VHS. I was like a little-ass kid.
It's been out a while, but that movie, I think, like... was like ahead of the time on like a twist in the plot.
I did not like that twist.
I did.
You could say it. It's an older movie. It's
no, I mean spoiling. I didn't like it in the way that it like was mentally disturbing.
Yeah. Okay. Just for everyone who's listening, basically the twist in the movie is that the main characters in the cast who are it's like a period piece basically the whole time have actually been dead the whole time, and they're ghosts haunting modern day people in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought they were being haunted, but in fact they are the ghosts.
I remember being too scared to watch that when I was younger because I remember the cover art. It's like Nicole Kidman's face like covered halfway in shadow or something, and she looks like so scared, and I was just like, that's not for me.
It probably makes it worse too, is that they can never give her a good wig, so and that makes the cover a lot scarier.
It makes it much, much harder.
Yeah, I remember not knowing what it was and thinking to myself as I was watching it, I'm way too young to watch this. And then like two-thirds of the way through, I was like, this is a scary movie.
Yep.
And then I was just stuck in it, and I was like mentally not good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I never knew this movie existed.
I barely remember it. But
well,
it's
got drafted
flick.
1-1 overall, so now you're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
All right, very interesting. Actually, see, this is why you're on, Enrique. You just shook up the entire fucking paradigm of this entire thing.
Yeah.
All right, Rudy, you're up.
So do I go... I can go any category?
Anything, anywhere you want.
All right, so I got to pick...
He's got his full list.
I can't see this, but Rudy just came in with a piece of paper folded up in his pocket.
Logic would dictate I'd pick the one that I don't want anyone else to have, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in that case...
Nothing gets by you, Rudy.
I've never done a draft before.
But you know how drafts work. Like, you know, like NFL draft. You pick the player you don't...
Let me just talk through my process.
All right, okay.
Listen,
I'm sorry. That was aggressive.
Yeah, drafts have clocks. What do you think they do in that war room? They talk. They talk out their picks.
Fair.
All right, I'm going to go with comedy. And I'm going to go...
Really struggling.
I'm going to go 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay. Second overall pick, 40-Year-Old Virgin. This is not the way I expected this to go, which is good.
I just can't... I wouldn't be able to live with anyone if someone else had that.
It is a fantastic movie, and I think that... that's one of the movies, almost like Borat, which you just heard quoted nonstop. Like, it's just like, especially because that came out in like
Bags of Sand.
Yeah, just all the time, constantly.
I know
quoted.
What boobs feel like, and as like everyone knows from the bracket.
Oh yeah, of course, everyone knows Tommy loves boobs.
Yeah,
that's like the number one thing everyone knows about him. But yeah, I think that's one where it had such a huge cultural impact, even though like, but when we had watched it, we were too young to still pretty much understand a lot of what was happening in it.
For sure,
but it was still very, very funny and still kind of
holds up. I knew what was going on.
I think that was the first time I ever saw like porn.
Oh, yeah.
When they trap them in the video room.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Magnolia Theater room and they're blasting porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a eye-opening experience. But, dude, like, that movie's got... that. I like that movie a lot because, one, it's fucking hilarious and really good writing. But, like, Jonah Hill is a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rogen was kind of a nobody. Paul Rudd, somewhat of a nobody. Steve Carell, like, wasn't as well known then.
It was before The Office.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Way before The Office.
Oh, no.
It was roughly around the same time, I think.
No way, bro. Way before.
I feel like 40-Year-Old Virgin is 2005.
Yeah, I think you're right. 40-Year-Old Virgin is 2005. The Office, I want to say, is 2006. I think you're right on that. I think you're right on the money. I'll double check.
Very committed to that role, too. Did you know that on that wax scene that was like, he was actually getting waxed?
I saw like
it wasn't
TikTok,
a proper,
I saw like
kind of cosmetics.
Yeah, where they actually did that.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah.
2005, they were on the same year, which is kind of crazy. But damn. Like, either way, it's chicken egg, like, this is first, I guess.
Yeah, that movie fucking rules, dude.
Yeah.
If you don't like that movie, I don't fuck with you.
You know what movie is part is really fun from that is the scene where they're in the, I think it's like a therapist's office, or is it? Yeah. No, it's the, what do you call it? The gyno or something?
No, they're
where
at,
is it?
They're at like.
They're at a doctor's of some kind.
I think they do go to a gyno because his girlfriend. Yeah. The mom wants to get on. The daughter of the girlfriend wants to get on birth
Kat
control.
Dennings.
The daughter of the mom wants to get on birth control. Mm-hmm. So they go to the gyno and they're in the waiting room and they got like the kid.
The little redhead kid.
Yeah. He's like, Seth, you got a tiny penis.
Yeah, Seth, that, you got a tiny penis. Yeah, that line is so funny.
That part is awesome. Yeah.
All right. Bob, you're up.
All right. I'm going to roll into drama. And I guess this movie could have fallen into kind of comedy too, maybe even action. But I'm going to go Inglourious Basterds.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Which is, you know, Tarantino's kind of the 19-year-old freshman in college dorm room poster director. But I think this is his best, probably in a way, his most refined. It hits a lot of the notes that he likes to hit, with his gore, you know, over the top, almost B-action kind of stuff going on. But it has maybe the most iconic opening scene. Maybe not iconic, but one of the most intense without, you know, even an ounce of blood even being shown shed.
Mm-hmm.
Christoph Waltz just dominates.
So good.
So great in that movie.
Brad Pitt with his country-ass accent saying Nazis over and over again just gets to me. The bar scene in the
bar scene is so good. That's unbelievable.
Maybe one of the best scenes of the past like 15 years, if not the best. Just between the switching from American or English to German. Yes, American is a language.
The fast man.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on about the things I love about that movie. Yeah, just a weird ass Mike Myers cameo.
Yep. Really weird.
Oh, yeah, he was that British officer.
Yeah, for no reason. Yeah. I don't know why, but he was just in it.
I think that movie is like, that story for that movie is like, was the best like device for like Quentin Tarantino's like medium. Like, it just executed the best. Like,
yes.
It was just a nice sync between what he likes to do and the story was right.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
That's like, I have like four movie posters in my apartment and one of them is Inglourious Basterds. And my girlfriend didn't know anything about Inglourious Basterds before I put it up. She's like, why is there a fucking swastika in the middle of our hallway? Because it's just like, it's the like dead in the center of this poster. And the poster's like all the actors and everything. But this like dead in the center is that logo of Inglourious Basterds, which is like that Nazi eagle with the little swastika in it.
Yeah, New York is a little dangerous.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough here, but yeah, I mean, it's next to a poster of,
I would say anywhere.
Yeah.
Then you got the Parasite poster.
It's next to a Parasite poster and My Neighbor Totoro. So, like, it's very disarming. So, okay.
It's like, either this guy really likes movies or we got, like, a racist Asian. Like, somebody who hates Asian people.
A very confused racist on our hands.
I have the screenplay in my apartment. I've never once read it.
That's right. See, so I was talking to Jeff before we came on here. If you listen, you know that already. We did a little rundown and I talked about how we were doing this. And he goes, like, yeah, I mentioned Rudy's a sneaky cinephile. And he's like, yeah, he has a copy of Inglourious Basterds sitting on his coffee table.
I just do it to, like, I just got it because some dude in Soho was selling them. He has, like, ton of screenplays. He sells them on the street, and I was like, oh, this is a dope item to have, like, on a coffee table. I've never once, like, opened it.
You know how the joke is, like, guys will make girls come over and just, like, watch some stupid movie. They like, what if you just have a girl over and just sit there and read the screenplay?
Yeah. You're playing in the minor leagues if you're, like, mansplaining Quentin Tarantino. I got the fucking screenplay.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm reading it to bitches.
You just see the singer. All right.
I'll read Shoshana.
That's like, I love that that sort of like common thing where like you make someone watch something and you just sit there and stare at them for the reaction. Like you're just sitting here watching her read the entire screenplay.
I'm criticizing her. I'm like, that's not a French like Alp accent. You're not doing it right.
Yeah, you need to get the Alsace Lorraine in that accent next time.
Right spot.
Yeah, no, exactly. Your inflection's all off. Your diction's you're not speaking through the room.
Exactly.
Again,
I always think of strudel.
Strudel seems great.
Apple strudel, I just think of that movie. Like, strudel, can I have some strudel?
The little dollop of like cream.
Strudel, can I have some strudel?
That's how Germans
say it.
You
sound Irish.
No, strudel.
That seemed more Irish. Like, I disagreed at first, and now it's
can I have some strudel like a German would in English?
In English?
In German,
yeah,
with like an English.
A German,
English with a German accent.
Can I have some strudel?
Yeah, that definitely didn't sound very German at all. That was terrible.
Can I please have some strudel?
Sounds like Mork.
Yes, it sounds really... It's like not even close. Okay, so I'm up, and for my pick, I think I'll go with drama, and I'll pick Parasite, because I love Parasite. I think it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's a perfect 100 out of 100 for me.
Yeah.
I remember, and Brett Goldman, shout out to you, who I remember who he gave me the screener for this in August of 2019, like 6 months before the movie came out, because he got it from like Cannes or whatever. And I watched it and I was like, this is the best movie of the year, without a doubt. And it ended up winning the Oscar that year when it came out in like November or something like that. And it's just an unbelievable movie that I could rewatch a trillion times. Beautiful.
Can I ask what category you're taking it for?
I'm taking it for drama.
Okay. That is a fair question.
Yeah, that is. Yeah,
because it is listed as a horror on IMDb.
Yeah, it could be suspenseful, dramatic. It's got a little bit of everything, but I'm going to list it under drama for this case. Okay, Tommy, you're up.
All right,
you get back to back too.
Here's my thing with movies. I'm not good at remembering what movies I've seen. I know that sounds dumb, and I'm not really even that good at remembering what happens in movies. For someone with a good memory, I have like show and movie amnesia.
You could quote all of Chuck, but you could not like.
No, I can't quote all of Chuck. Like, I can't.
Just
like,
with shows too.
With shows, TV, like shows, movies, like I don't know what happened.
But you remember who the reliever was for the Yankees,
right? And I could tell you what I did on like June 23rd, 2009. What'd you do?
June 23rd, 2009.
Came from Florida to visit for a month. Yankees were playing the Braves. Right, 2 days before Michael Jackson died, went to Camelback Beach.
That's so.
We
specific.
All remember where we were when Michael. Yeah. Jackson
That's
died.
So fucking crazy.
I heard drinks.
But yeah, but okay. So I don't really like horror movies. I don't think I've seen that many horror movies. So strategically, I'm gonna take the one that I have seen and is great. So I'm gonna go Get Out.
Mm.
Get Out, just a great horror movie, new school horror movie. You know, I don't want to go to like. I'm not going to go to like an old one because I haven't seen most of the old ones, so I'm going to say Get Out.
No, that's a great pick. One.
I call that like that's a great flick.
Yes. Great flick. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's got like great flick tag.
Yeah.
Like you go to when I saw that in the theaters, that was probably like one of the most fun times I've had in a theater.
Yeah.
It just hits.
Exactly. I agree. That's a great movie. Great performances too, all across.
Yeah.
Now I don't, is this, am I, I don't know. Do all movies fit in one of these five categories?
No, they don't all have to.
But like, are there movies that are ineligible for this draft because they don't fit a category?
I don't know.
You can figure a way to
pigeonhole it. Can I take The Dark Knight as a drama?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna take The Dark Knight. I know it's like such a basic like 25-year-old guy pick to take, but like it's just such a fucking good movie. Yeah, Heath Ledger's role is iconic. Like I rewatched it a couple months ago because I forgot how good it was, and I was like every scene. You remember. Like, literally every scene is iconic where it's like, oh, I forgot this is also in that movie.
Yep.
This is also
I thought you didn't remember
this
movies.
Is also in that movie. That's the exact. The okay. Dark Knight, like, that's how you know it's so good, is it's just, like, unbelievable acting, great story, best superhero movie ever made. Whatever. I'm going The Dark Knight.
There's not... I think that's a movie, too, where, like, there's almost no one that can say that The Dark Knight is a bad movie without... Like, you're just a contrarian. Like,
yeah.
It's like, there's almost... You can't say it's an empirically bad movie because it's just that good.
Right.
And it's absurdly good.
It's like saying the Earth is flat. It's like,
exactly. Which some people still do, but... Yeah. All right, so I'm back up. I think for me, I will do comedy, and I'll take Superbad off the board. For a lot of the same reasons you picked 40-Year-Old Virgin, Rudy, which is just like it is so iconic in that era. And I think out of all the movies from that block of like 2000 to 2010, that's the one that stands out to me the most. I think it has like the most like laughs per minute of any movie I think I've ever seen. Just like constantly good line over and over and over again.
LPMs are off the chart.
Yes, LPMs are crazy. That entire cast was unbelievably good. Like that's, you talk about Seth Rogen was not big at that time. He was so good. Him and Bill Hader back and forth. Incredible.
That launched careers.
Yeah, exactly. That movie really took people off. I mean, like even Michael Cera. Like Michael Cera became a huge guy. Like, he was cast in everything after that.
Emma Stone.
Nuts. Yeah, Emma Stone was. Her friend from that, not really, but I don't know what happened to her. A couple other very funny people in that movie as well. And it's just one that I think stands out and definitely holds up extremely well, too. Really makes me laugh. Great outtake reel, too. If you've never seen their blooper reel for Superbad, laugh out loud funny.
It is. I saw Superbad kind of late. Like, I saw it maybe for the first time, like, 3 years ago, which I know is crazy.
That's
and
wild.
There's so many things from it that you don't realize, like, oh, that's from Superbad.
Yes.
I can't think off the top of my head of an example, but there's just so many things.
Because you don't remember movies.
Because I don't remember movies, but I remember watching that. I was like, oh, shit, that's where that comes from? Mm-hmm. That's where that... I actually love doing that with any classic movie. Like, I'll see something, it's like, oh, that's where that word...
Yeah.
Like, that's where that phrase comes from.
Yeah, a lot
from.
Of references.
He's been getting called McLovin his whole life. He's like, what the fuck is this?
The
like,
fuck why is that guy?
Who is this about McDonald's?
I bet he's great, though.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bob, you're back up.
I'm going to go into the sci-fi fantasy genre, and it's probably the most loaded genre out there between, for at least me and you, Kinjack, I think that's where most of our favorite movies lie.
Yep.
but I'm going to lean towards the fantasy direction. I'm going to go Lord of the Rings, and I'm actually going to go Fellowship of the Ring.
Wow.
Which is, I think, the unpopular take in the LOTR community.
They finna drag your ass.
Yeah, oh, they will. No, because
there's Fellowship movies. Hardcore stands, though.
All three movies are great. I mean, more than great, honestly.
I like that one the best, honestly, too.
The thing about me is I love origin movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it's comic books or right here. And I love seeing the Fellowship come together. And I like all the hobbits together at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It has a little bit more of a lighter tone. You get Boromir, and I love Sean Bean.
Great that twist guy.
At the end.
All-time dire.
Coming back in the redemption to save the hobbits.
Yep.
And that opening monologue from Cate Blanchett is just great. I used to fall asleep with that movie on almost... There was a period in college where I would go to sleep with that movie on all the time just because of how peaceful the beginning is.
Mm-hmm.
And just the Shire. It's just a very calming movie. I just love it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. That's a movie that like launched me into watching more fantasy movies when I was younger. Because that was like 2001, 2002 or 2001. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Great pick. Rudy, you're up.
I'm up. All right. I'm going to go get my paper out again. I think I'm going to go sci-fi as well,
mm-hmm.
just because I'm going to pick a movie that I wouldn't want to see in someone else's bed. I'm gonna go Interstellar.
Okay.
Oh.
And I know a lot of people are like Interstellar haters. They're like, it's fucking stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Let me say something right now to you people that don't get it or don't like it. You just don't know science. You don't get science. And now let me explain to you why this movie is incredible. You can make fun of the fact that like love transcending dimensions is sort of lame, which I'll give you. That's a little bit fucking lame that like love is the through line mm-hmm. through all this, but it's a fucking movie, so there's going to be love involved. Having said that, the reason why this is the most fucking metal sci-fi movie is because every single one of the space shots was calculated by a physicist named Kip Thorne. They had a motherfucking astrophysicist, a particle scientist, calculate the shots of the black holes, of Miller's planet, mm-hmm. of Saturn, of Earth, time dilation, space warping. All of that stuff is the closest any of you will ever be to being in space.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
I think you're 100% right on that.
Those visuals are the closest you'll ever be to seeing Saturn. Take that in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You'll never be that fucking close. Not even Jeff Bezos will be that close, and that dude's been to fucking space.
Yeah.
Those are the most accurate scientific visuals you'll ever see in a movie until someone tops it, which I don't know if they will, in fucking IMAX with Matthew McConaughey crying.
Mm. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey, great cry in that movie. As was
a couple great cries.
Yeah. The scene where Murph calls him, I think, is
cries.
Amazing.
Michael Caine cries. A lot of crying in that movie. Yeah. People say Christopher Nolan can't do relationships and emotion well, but
that was a great
he does
one.
It in that movie.
Young Timothée Chalamet in that movie, people forget.
Oh, great soundtrack. Yeah. Sometimes I just like to go out on my bike at night and just listen to the Interstellar mm-hmm. soundtrack. And
that will make me cry. Hans Zimmer.
I pretend I'm Matthew McConaughey.
On one for that banging, dude.
There's one scene in that I always thought was really, really cool, which is the scene where the station is like rotating and they have to match the spin to get the plane mm-hmm. docked into the thing. I always thought that scene was like perfectly suspenseful. Really, really cool. And you're right about the whole science part of it. I know that out of all the space-based movies, most scientists say it's the most accurate because like no one knows what a black hole should look like. But theoretically, because they used all those brilliant minds, like it actually became the closest, right?
It lands within scientific theory. So basically what they did, like all of that stuff, like all those planets, those are like the extreme situations, mm-hmm. like not likely to occur, but those can occur and are based in science, which is one of the coolest things ever because a lot of science fiction is fiction.
Yeah.
That movie is literally based in scientific theory. Is it true, all that stuff? Maybe or maybe not, but theoretically, those things are all cool. You know who would fuck with that movie? Is Albert Einstein. He's a pretty cool
that.
Dude.
You would have really liked that
How
movie.
How do you think Albert Einstein would react if you just made him watch it?
You went back in time just to watch. That's the Wojak meme right there.
It's bro, look at this.
Girls going back in time to like kill Hitler or whatever. Guy going back in time to show Albert Einstein Interstellar.
That's 100% what I would do.
Yes. All right, Interstellar.
It did make me want to like figure out, I guess it's time travel, right?
Yeah.
Space dilation.
Yeah, it's about...
Time can be stretched and squeezed, but it can't go back.
If you watch that movie, you're immediately going on an hour-long like rabbit hole down YouTube of like black holes and like, can we actually time travel and like go through dimensions? Like, it's guaranteed.
They have a book that explains all of it. It's a great book.
The Bible?
No, no, no. It's like literally by the physicist to help him out. He explains like all of the scientific reasoning behind the whole plot. It's fucking dope. Mm-hmm. It's pretty nerdy though.
I'm gonna check that one out.
You're a huge nerd.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I don't know.
You can.
About
you guys
that.
Can sit down and you can like watch him while he reads it, just like with the screenplay.
Yeah.
It worked perfectly.
Yeah. Did you remember that?
Interstellar. I'll be honest. What I remember from it, I remember Matthew McConaughey. I remember a young Chalamet.
Yep.
I remember the ending with the books and shit.
Bookcase,
and like, if you go down in the time, it warps the time.
What, they call it the Tesseract.
I'll be honest,
the Tesseract.
Yeah, I don't really know what the plot was.
Well, like, you don't remember movies.
It's a hard. Yeah, I'm saying it's a hard to remember plot. Like, time travel.
They lost the okra. Next year it'll be the corn.
Yep, that was the great line. Yep, and everything was in a big dust bowl.
Love John Lithgow.
All right, Enrique, you got back to back.
I'm gonna go with sci-fi fantasy as well.
Okay.
I just want to say that I do want to give a shout out to my original choice was going to be The Green Mile.
Okay.
Love that movie. Such a good movie.
Yep.
But I will take any opportunity I can to plug Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep.
I haven't seen it yet.
Best thing I've seen in years. It is science fiction with sci-fi.
For sure.
Like, but it like supersedes like all genres, I feel. It's just fantastic film. It made over $1 million while only being in 40 theaters. Like, it is a limited run, but it is like killing it at the box office, which is great.
One of the best movies I've seen in a very long time. I think it's the first movie I rated over a 96 in like 2 years or something like that.
I would say since I saw Parasite, this is like the second best thing I've seen since.
One of the first thoughts I had when you said this is what we were doing for the draft, I was like, it'd be kind of funny if I just picked everything everywhere all at once for every single category.
Yeah,
it really does.
You literally could.
It fits into everything, and the crazy thing about the movie is it tries to do so much, and it just nails everything it's trying to do.
Yeah.
It did not fail in one aspect, like, in any aspect.
Every time we get like an everything bagel in the morning, I'm just like,
The bagel
from everything.
Is it gonna? If I when I see it, is it gonna fuck me up? Like, do I need to be a good headspace?
Destroy your brain a little bit, yeah.
Like, if I'm in
How's your relationship with your mom?
Pretty good.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. You don't have family trauma. You're probably good.
Yeah. All right. Good. Because sometimes movies like that are that good that are about metaverse, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You walk into that in a bad mind frame, you're gonna walk out.
The closing like 25 of that movie fucking wrecks me.
Yeah.
Tears. I watched it twice. Tears both times.
Oh, but at the beginning, dude, I was just like in shock, like in all of what I didn't know what I was going into.
Yeah.
So I was just in all of everything I was seeing because I was like, this makes like. It just kept turning corner after corner after corner.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It's a very difficult movie to explain and sell to a friend.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's like there's really no great way to sell it.
Yeah.
Like
15
it's just like,
genres
like,
in one movie.
Yeah, it's everything. Like you get everything.
Literally
like,
everything.
What? I'm like, no, like you just got
to
see it.
Yeah, you just got to see it to believe it. All right, great pick. All right, you have your next one as well.
This is a hard choice, but I think I'm going to go with comedy next. And I'm going to choose the movie Waiting for Guffman.
Wow.
If you're a fan of like the Best in Show, Spinal Tap sort of cast and genre, Waiting for Guffman is like the theater kid version of that, of all those movies. It's my favorite one of like the whole collection.
It's like the guest collection.
Yeah,
basically.
Christopher Guest is just so good. Mm-hmm. His writing, everyone's acting in it. Obviously has Eugene Levy, has Catherine O'Hara in all the films. Parker Posey, who I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
But Christopher Guest just steals the whole film. But... if you like Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman is just like the comedy for me. I just can't stop laughing the whole time. I love a mockumentary.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Best in Show, I've watched that like a trillion times. It's so goddamn funny. It kills me every time.
It's like a list of like people's funniest movies of all time. It's like,
I know he's weirdly a huge fan of that movie is Big Cat. Big Cat loves that movie. It's like one of his favorite movies.
Brandon Walker as well. We talk about Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, all that whole genre. He loves that whole genre, but he loves it. We quote Best in Show like weekly.
Big guest fans. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Rudy, you're back around.
I'm gonna go sports because we haven't done it yet, so I want to get sports off the board. I'm gonna go Big Lebowski
for bowling. Okay.
Yeah.
It counts.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm trying to double dip. That's a good stretch. Yeah, that's a Debo Samuel type weapon.
Yeah,
I can use him in multiple positions. It's a sports movie. It's a comedy.
One of the best.
That movie fucking rules. The neo Nazis pissing on the carpet. You don't fuck with the Jesus. Everything about that is amazing.
Yep.
Very funny.
You got to watch. That's one.
There's
that
a lot of
watch.
Classic movies. I just
honestly,
guess.
Dude,
I haven't either.
You
there's a lot of classic.
You wouldn't get it.
Oh,
now he's going to watch it. Yeah,
I don't think you'd get it.
In what way?
It just would go over your head.
It's too complex. It's too much like Interstellar.
I mean, it's like, no, it's just funny and like witty and also you wouldn't remember. There's a lot. It's long, so you're going to have a hard time remembering
it. There's actually a book that explains the jokes after you can read it. Rudy has it. He'll let you borrow it.
I think you should.
So this is why this scene was funny.
Yeah. I think that you should just steer clear.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen any other Coen Brothers movie?
There's no chance Tommy knows. Yeah.
Wait, who are like,
what
are movies?
All right,
I'm trying to think of one that you would have seen.
I'm going to show you like a
Fargo.
I've seen Fargo.
Oh, Fargo's by them.
I'll be honest, love the show Fargo. Thought
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
The movie, that show was awesome. I
thought the show was way better than the movie.
All right, so here's the full list. Macbeth, you definitely didn't see. No Country for Old Men, True Grit, Hail Caesar, Bout of Buster Scruggs.
Speaking of True Grit,
Reading, Inside Llewyn Davis.
I walked by.
Oh, I saw.
My neighbor has like one of those like grab and go libraries, and it's almost always just like shitty cooking books from the 1980s and just random stuff nobody wants. He just had like a Blu-ray copy of True Grit just in the little grab and go library for people to just take.
I've been meaning to watch True Grit forever, and I just never got around to it. Really, really good remake.
Nominated for 10 Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Didn't win a single one.
Yeah, that also kind of, that tracks.
That sucks.
That was Freaky Deakins on the cinematography, I'm pretty sure, in True Grit. That's one of the best cinematographers in the world. All right, Bob, you're back up.
All right, I'm going to go comedy, and I'm going to go Walk Hard, Dewey Cox story, which
great.
I just love that movie. It's dumb. It's got a lot of stupid jokes, but I really just love it. I've probably seen that movie more than any movie I've ever seen.
That's the one we were talking about, jokes, or was it laughs per minute?
Yeah,
that is one of the best laughs
per
minute movies.
Yeah, it's the jokes per minute is just absurd. It's got a lot of running bits, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a great original soundtrack, which always gets points on my board.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly is just a chameleon in Hollywood. He can really do it all. And it's kind of just on show in this movie. He nails all the comedic bits like you'd expect. And I feel like coming into that movie, people didn't think of him as a leading man in a comedy film because he was coming off of Step Brothers and Talladega Nights. And he just knocked it out of the park. And great singing voice.
The Beatles scene is one of the funniest scenes.
The Beatles scene is just classic.
It's so goddamn good.
I like the drugs joke that they have running throughout the movie.
Yeah,
that's just
part of this shit.
It turns all your bad feelings into good ones. You don't want any of this shit. I kind of think I want it.
That was what's his name, right? Oh my gosh,
Tim Meadows.
Yeah, Tim Meadows. Yeah, the ladies' man himself. Okay, I'm up. I think I will go with sports. A lot of sports stuff on the board, but I'm second guessing myself because Rudy really took it outside the box.
Yeah.
But I'll take a really good movie. What I think is it's a perfect 100 out of 100 for me. Lord of the Rings 3. The Return of the King.
Any of the Lord of the Rings?
That's
another movie. Another movie. You wouldn't get it.
Dude, you do think I'm mentally challenged?
You don't remember movies.
I can like a movie and just not remember the plot.
No, this is what I'm doing to you is this new thing I'm trying where
I'm trying to get.
So like, you know how when people are like, especially with Game of Thrones, like if you're like, oh, I haven't seen Game of Thrones, and someone who loves it, like myself, they're like, oh my god, like you got to fucking stop what you're doing right now, abandon all your plans, you have to watch Game of Thrones. That kind of naturally makes you want to be like, dude, all right, fucking chill, dude. I'm not like, I'll watch it when I get around. Whereas if you were just go up someone and you like talk about a show and you're like, dude, honestly, I don't think you'd get it.
I actually did this with one of my friends with Game of Thrones. He wouldn't watch it and he's like, I want to wait for the whole series to come out.
He said
he wanted to wait for the entire series to come out and then he'd watch it all at once. And me and my other friend just wanted him to watch it. So we gaslit him into watching it by saying, like, we kept making references to stuff and he'd be like, no, it's like an inside joke. You don't get it.
Right.
And we kept doing that over and over and over again until he finally just broke and watched it. And like we told him afterwards, we showed him the text conversation. We're like, yeah, we literally manipulated you into watching this. And it was so easy.
Yeah.
I'd save that for if you recommend something to someone and they don't like it, then just be like, oh, you must have not got it. Oh,
yeah.
You just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe save it for after. It's like, oh, like then you make them feel like shit. Mm-hmm. It's not your bad suggestion. Your brain's
true,
just
though.
Too small.
Like if somebody like hypes up a show or a movie, it really does like, I go in there with a notepad. I'm ready to just tear this thing apart.
Yeah, because it's not yours. They like have some like ownership over it because you want to be first. You don't want to be told what to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you recommend someone a movie, it feels like you made that movie.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like so defensive of it.
You wrote the movie. You directed it. It's like that movie's your baby when you're recommending it to someone.
That's actually, I remember I told you, I think, Enrique, when I came in, you asked me about Everything Ever All at Once.
Yeah, because
you gotta see it. Like, if you came back and said you hated it, I would have hated you.
You should have.
Anyway, if you don't like that movie, you should deserve to be hated.
You should be hated on the spot.
I mean, I think I texted you at like, or I messaged you like at like 1 a.m. or like it was 11, 12, something, some really late time. We're not close enough to like me be texting you at that time.
Yeah, sure.
But I went ahead and crossed that border anyway, and I was like, this was so freaking good. I just had to tell, so I had to talk to someone about it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, when I saw it opening night, so like I had no one to talk to about it at all. That was miserable. Okay, so I'm picking Lord of the Rings 3, one of the best sci-fi fantasy movies I think ever made. Effects that still hold up to this day. Battle of Minas Tirith, one of the coolest things ever. Really,
that goes crazy.
It's insane. So good.
The speech Théoden gives, like when he comes up, like telling like the like all of his horsemen before they go out and attack the orcs, fucking sick.
I just got goosebumps on my left arm.
What's that?
Thinking about that, I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, dude, it's so, so good. Oh, amazing movie. All right, so Tommy, now you get back to back.
I'm going to try. I feel free for everyone to veto this pick, but for my comedy pick, I would like to take the Jason Bateman catalog. I would like to take the entire Jason
Bateman. Every Jason Bateman movie?
Yes. I'd like to take Jason Bateman's catalog. So, you know, to the common listener, maybe I'm not getting anything that great, but I'm getting, you know, Game Night.
Identity Thief.
I'm getting Identity Thief. I'm getting The Change Up. I'm getting Horrible Bosses. Horrible Bosses 2.
Horrible Bosses 1, very funny.
Great. Identity Thief is great, too. Perfect movie in my mind. The Switch. I'm getting Couples Retreat. So, again, if you don't let me have the whole entire catalog, that's totally fine. But I just want everyone to know my pick for comedy movie would be anything Jason Bateman is in is gold. Everyone knows he's my favorite actor. He plays the same role every time, but my God, does he nail it to a T every single time.
Although he switched it up in TV now. Ozark, he's on
that. I won't watch Ozark. I refuse to watch Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman.
I feel like he's actually a good role. Yeah, I feel like he's 100% the same. I feel like I'm like, it's so still Jason Bateman.
Sometimes it's tough to like shatter that illusion a little bit, but he's so freaking good in it. It's unbelievable.
He's acting in it.
You guys can't see it right now, but I'm doing Jason Bateman.
Yeah, I think that's literally him.
He loves played Jim guys? From The Office.
He loves asking questions.
Yes, big time question.
Big
guys.
Question asker in movies. Yeah. All his lines are questioned.
Yeah,
he was in Zootopia.
He loves saying guys. Yeah. Okay, guys. Okay, guys. So here's the thing: we're gonna all get in the van.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and then we're gonna give it a shot. Okay.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'll allow it. I think it's okay with me, but I think you need to pick like your front facing one
for
one
a
movie,
graphic,
one for the sake of your graphic. So you get to pick one.
Obviously, right. The perfect movie Identity.
Well, if I can't get the whole collection,
no. You, so
then
we'll
I'm
give
taking
you,
The Hangover.
No. We're gonna give you the whole collection, but you need to pick one movie to be like the figurehead.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna pick Hancock.
Yeah, it could go Hancock.
I'll go Game Night.
Game Night.
That's the right choice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fantastic movie.
I enjoyed
the best of his movies that like if I you know I always say The Change Up, Horrible Bosses, but for a graphic, if I want the people on my side, I'll say
the Tostitos Scoop line is one of the funniest lines I think in out of any comedy.
Yeah. What was
don't,
that?
Don't recall it at all.
The Tostitos Scoops line.
Rachel McAdams.
I saw it, but I'm trying to remember.
She really made that movie a lot better.
She like, so was good. A nice when she does the film. When she's dancing with the gun inside the bar. Yeah. It's just so funny.
Yeah, that movie
she
does accidentally roll, shoots actually. Him. It's coming back to me.
It's a good cast.
It's like got the mystery aspect of it too.
Yes. Yeah. I remember and Jeff actually
and the
saw
running
that.
The running bit with Denzel Washington.
Yeah,
it was great.
He kept telling her that she was he was Denzel Washington. I forgot about that. Me and Jeff saw that together at a theater in Philly, which is bizarre. Like, I forget what the situation is that led to that happening, but that's how it worked out. You get back to back though, Tommy.
All right, so then I'm going to go with The Martian. I'm gonna go sci-fi fantasy. I love The Martian. Other picks on the board here, but similar to Interstellar in my mind, I saw The Martian more recently.
It's a comedy.
they did submit it as a comedy under a comedy. The Martian and the Golden Globe, I think, right?
Golden Globes. It won Best Comedy. It was definitely nominated for Best Comedy.
Well, that's kind of funny. He did
great
farm
movie
with his own
and like weirdly realistic in the sense of like I feel like that's how it would be handled.
Yeah.
If like somebody got stuck on Mars like that. And I don't know. Like I like space movies and stuff like that, but it wasn't as Interstellar. Obviously. Isn't gonna not that it you know a movie needs to be realistic to be good, but the realism of it like made it even better for me. It's like I could see this happen.
Another great soundtrack, and also that's Ridley Scott, right? Like Ridley Scott, unbelievable film catalog. Like it is, this catalog is nuts. I think that's a good pick. People might shit on you for that because I feel like people have mixed feelings on The Martian. I always liked The Martian. I don't understand that hate.
Really, I think it's I mean, like I said, I saw it for the first time a few months ago. It's fresh in the mind, but to me, it's just a really solid movie.
Well, he was a botanist, right? But I forget he had a funny-ish name. Was it? I don't remember. It, and then who's in the cast? It was like Anna Kendrick was one of the people, or is it Jessica Chastain?
I can't remember Ed Helms' character in The Hangover.
That's
Stu.
Okay. Yeah,
Stu Allen. Because I saw your blog the other day about how Craig Robinson almost played him. Yeah, that character. I couldn't remember the character. I was like, what's wrong with
him? No, it was Kristen. Wait. Yeah. Jessica Chastain was in it. Yeah, she was on the ship.
She's on the ship.
Kristen Wiig was in it in a dramatic role, which I forgot.
Jessica Chastain was also in Interstellar, or no?
Yes.
Kid Cudi was in that movie, or not Kid Cudi, Donald Glover was in that.
Donald Glover's character is my favorite. Yeah, he rules.
Jeff Daniels, I forgot.
Star-studded cast. Sebastian Stan was in it. I'm trying.
That's right. I forgot about that. Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think, isn't it, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Sneakily, very nice cast. But that's just like the Ridley Scott effect. I feel like he could drum up a massive cast for any movie he wants to do.
Okay, so I'm back up. I will hit now. I don't want to do... I think I might save sports for last, and I will get The Shining now. The Shining, arguably the best horror movie ever made. Still hilarious how Stephen King like hates it. He's like, yeah, it's terrible. It was like a nice car with no engine. It's like, what the fuck do you mean? It's like the best horror movie like ever. Super grueling, really scary, really fucking weird. I think that children in movies can sometimes be the scariest thing in the entire world. Yeah. Like, kids are just freaky. Like, they really freak me out. And the kid in that was super freaky. Jack Nicholson, all-time performer, Shelley Duvall as well. I forget who played the cop, but he was very good at two. But yeah, one of the best horror movies I ever had to pick it. But Bob, you're up.
I'm going to save horror for last. I'm going to go sports here. And I'm going to go Moneyball.
I had a feeling you were going to go Moneyball.
Yeah, which, I guess it's somewhat of a sports movie, maybe not so much because it deals so much more in the backwaters and the math of baseball and just kind of the changing of a business and an industry. But it's great. You get Philip Seymour Hoffman in there who kind of gets overlooked in the movie because of how great Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill are. And it's also got a moment in a sports movie. It's one of the few sports movies that really breaks me at the very end when he's listening to his daughter's soundtrack after he bought her the guitar. Everything just kind of comes together perfectly, and I really love that movie.
Mm-hmm. That's the movie that made Chris Pratt lose all his weight.
Oh, yeah. I forget Chris Pratt was in that movie. Not great. I'll be honest. It wasn't great in that movie.
They told him he was too fat when they cast him, and he's like, all right, I'll lose weight. And he lost like 1,000 pounds.
Wait, that's what he lost weight for?
Yeah. That was before he got cast in Guardians. I thought
it was for Star-Lord.
That was before he got cast fully in that. So like they just told him straight up he's got to lose the weight, and he did. Fucking show me the secret. That's not steroids, please. Or steroids. I feel like we should just be using steroids.
Bro, just do steroids.
Yeah,
just
do one. My balls can get any smaller. No way.
Yeah.
At this point. All right, Rudy, you're up.
Oh, I'm up. All right, so only ones I have left is drama and horror. I'm going to go drama, and I'm going to take something that is one of the greatest movies ever, is Training Day.
Wow, okay, good pick. Antoine Fuqua.
Training Day, that's one of those movies that, I don't know, man, it's a classic. There's not really much you can say about it. It's just a motherfucking classic.
Absolutely chaotic movie in, like, the best way. It almost reminds me of, and I know this is probably, like, a weird comparison to make, it reminds me of Uncut Gems in the way that, like, you're in this one very short amount of time, and it's so fucking chaotic throughout that entire bit, like, nonstop.
It's one day, right?
Yeah, it's literally just one day.
Training Day.
Yeah.
It's a training day.
Attaboy.
I remember that. That's pretty nice. I remember Eva Mendes' titties in that movie, right?
Yeah, you do. You definitely do get to see bare boob in that. One scene in the bedroom, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Classic vintage Denzel. I mean, that's Denzel prime, Ethan Hawke prime.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, to me, like Terry 20. Curtis that's prime. Like 2015 Golden State Warriors as a movie.
Yeah, I like
just
that.
Fucking threes from the logo.
Uh-huh. Really all good pick.
Time.
All right, Enrique, you got back to back.
Action's not a genre we're doing, right? No?
No, but you can.
No.
You can probably pigeonhole.
I just did an extra. I was like, Rudy was like, we have two left. I was like, I have three. I was like, I don't know. But yeah. I'll start off. My sports one is Dodgeball.
Great pick.
Oh, yeah. Damn, that's a good one.
Just so fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, a great ride all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Hysterical movie. That was one of the
Was that not your first interview? Was with
our Ross very and, first interview Ross was Ross Marshall Thurber.
Aw.
He wrote
the guy who directed. Did he not write it in college, which is just a...
I think so, yeah.
He just wrote the movie in college, and just crazy. I mean,
crazy good cast on that, too.
Just a great script. I mean... Hilarious movie.
Stiller, Vaughn, obviously.
His ex-wife.
Alan Tudyk.
I can't remember Ben
What's
Stiller's
his name? Who's the guy from Barry? Oh my God, I always forget his name even though I love him.
Not Bill Hader.
No, not Bill Hader. It's like his...
The Fonz?
No, that's Henry Winkler.
It's not Alan Tudyk, but Alan Tudyk is in the movie. Steve the Pirate.
Alan Tudyk is Pillar Pirate. Stephen Root is who I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Vaughn, Justin Long. It was very of that time period, just like star-studded cast.
Joel David Moore, the super deep voice guy, the lanky one, who was a what was it, Grandma's Boy?
Obviously, Tommy's favorite actor, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman.
I don't love him in that role, if we're being honest.
Well, you've technically picked it in your catalog.
Yeah,
technically
it is in my collection. We could do Only Where He's the Leading Man for my collection.
That's fair.
But it is... I love Dodgeball.
Lance Armstrong was in that? I don't remember.
Yes.
Wait, you don't remember that? He's the judge or whatever, yeah?
No, in the airport when he goes to get a drink.
Oh, yeah. At that airport bar. Okay. All right. Yeah, because I was looking at the rest of the ones next to it. It's like Chuck Norris, which I remember from the celebrity judge scene, and the friggin' Chuck Norris or whatever he says at the end.
Prime Chuck Norris. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Chuck Norris. I feel like kids today don't understand how much of an early internet meme Chuck Norris was.
It was like an OG meme.
It was a meme at the time.
Yeah.
I remember walking into middle school with my printed up sheet of Chuck Norris jokes that I got off E-Bomb's World, and I was like, you guys ready to hear 15 jokes in a row without any intention of stopping?
You guys ready to giggle?
Yeah. The fact that
you already have a chuckle.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about this Chuck Norris. When he does push-ups, he pushes the world down. Did you hear about this?
I think that was the hardest I ever laughed in a theater was Dodgeball when he threw the wrench at him.
Oh, it's so funny.
It just smacks him.
Or no, actually, the wrench was funny as fuck, but then like a minute later is when he gets hit by the car.
Yeah.
I think that's like the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater when they're trying to cross the fucking street.
That was so funny.
I'll be honest, I died with when the luck of the Irish side just fell.
Patches O'Houlihan.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Great pick, Rudy. Yeah. Right, you have your last pick up, too.
Yep, and then my drama is going to be Brooklyn.
Wow, did not expect that.
Yeah, I love that movie. I'm a big Saoirse Ronan fan.
Yeah.
She has not done a single bad film, in my opinion, that I've seen, at least. So I love her and everything, but Brooklyn made me care about Irish and Italian people. And
that's hard to do.
And I was like, wow, this whole new world I didn't even know existed. But all the acting was great. The cast was great. The Italian guy who was a supporting actor, I can't remember his name right now. He hasn't done a lot of films, actually.
I've seen his face like the one time in Brooklyn, and I don't think I've ever seen him ever again.
He was so charming in the role. The story was great. The shots were beautiful. I just feel like it's like how you tell like a really good like immigrant love story. It's just so well done.
Yeah, I agree.
She was nominated for that, right?
Yeah,
that was one of her four.
She had I think like 2 years in a row, and that was like.
I have to watch this.
It was Emery Cohen. Kind of
a,
yeah.
I love a good rom.
Yeah, Emery. He was so charming.
Is it a rom com or?
It's more like a rom drama.
Yeah, definitely way more dramatic.
Yeah,
than funny.
I think Saoirse Ronan is just such a fantastic actor.
Great actress. For those of you who've seen Lady Bird, she's so
what a unique.
I liked Little Women. I'm a Little Women remake defender.
Yeah. That's a great five. That is an awesome five for Enriquez. All right, so Rudy, you're up. Your last pick.
My last pick for horror, I'm going to go Midsommar.
Great pick.
Nice. I hated Midsommar.
Because it was so scary?
Honestly, I fell asleep in the movie theater.
That's surprising.
Well, sort of a funny story about Midsommar. I was by my... This was like whenever Midsommar came out. I went for the first time ever, I went to go see a movie by myself. I went to go see Spider-Man... Far From Home, it was out at that point. By myself, I was like, you know what? People go to the movies by themselves. Eventually, like, it's like, oh, this is cool. Well, not cool, but like, I like going to the movies by myself. Me too. That was the first one ever. I went to Spider-Man No Way Home, whatever the fuck it's called. As I was there, this girl I was seeing at the time texted me. She was like, hey, do you want to see Midsommar tonight? And I was like, what theater? And it was the one I was at. And I was like, what time? And it was like right as Spider-Man ended.
Oh, man.
And I was like, okay, sure, but I had to rush out. I thought about like, I was like, do I just admit that like I just saw Spider-Man No Way Home by myself? So like, I was like, or do I like go out a back door and pretend to like come in? I eventually was just like, look, full disclosure, I was just here seeing Spider-Man by myself. But I feel like if my life was a sitcom, I would have like snuck out the back door and like tried to not make it clear that I was just seeing a superhero movie by myself.
I like to imagine that you would like turn the corner and start a light jog. So it's oh, I'm here. Sorry.
Waiting. Yeah, but what does that have? What does that have to do with you falling asleep?
Well, I was back-to-back movies. That's
back-to-back.
Hours.
You act like back-to-back movies is like
six
running a 5K.
Hours in a dark movie theater.
You're sitting
You're going to get tired.
You're just sitting at your desk for
it's
8
not,
hours.
I wasn't physically tired. Yeah, you get your eyes get tired.
But you sit at a desk for 8 hours. You don't just nod off.
Not in the dark. Not with my eyes focused on like a TV.
So did she catch you sleeping?
Yeah.
Bay Caught Me Sleeping. It's the worst. That's a scary fucking movie. That movie filled me with so much dread. It's insane. That's Ari Aster, same guy who did Hereditary. Yeah. Very, very good director.
Yeah, I wanted to pick Hereditary, but like Hereditary like will ruin your fucking life when you watch it.
Yeah,
like, it's so fucked up and so disturbing. At least Midsommar is like in the sun.
It is one of the only horror movies.
Worse.
That's the thing, and that's the thing I said about it, is that they made a full horror movie during the daytime, which like literally has never been done. Like it just does not ever be done. Is that it's just all during daytime. It's crazy.
That movie is so like disturbing.
Mm-hmm. I rewatched it recently, and obviously spoiler, but at the beginning, like I forgot the beginning starts with like a murder suicide, a double murder suicide, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think I blocked that out because, like, do you think that's just was a terrible start to the film? Yeah. You're like, oh.
That was, like, the least disturbing thing to happen was to see someone, like,
you started at the bottom and then went downhill.
Yeah, exactly. Wait,
are you talking about Hereditary or Midsommar?
Midsommar.
Okay, because Hereditary starts with suicide, right? Like an insanely disturbing suicide.
Yeah, so that's like Ari Aster's thing. Is like all of his movies deal with grief, like and how like humans process grief differently. So like that's kind of his thing. He has a new movie coming out soon, not soon, maybe next year.
Who?
Ari Aster, right?
Dude, I don't know what's going on in that dude's brain.
Is he still doing horror? He's not anymore, right?
Ari Aster?
He said he didn't want to do horror.
I know he has one more movie coming out.
I'll go see all of his movies, but like. They're so good, but I just can't believe what comes out of his brain.
Disappointment Boulevard.
Yeah, Disappointment Boulevard. Yeah. It's an intimate, decade-spanning portrait of a successful. Joaquin Phoenix, Nathan Lane. Yeah, Nathan Lane. I don't know how he got in here.
Interesting.
So. The campy king himself. Michael Gandolfini in this too, a couple other people.
Also, I have a wedding I have to go to in Norway this summer, and I'm like,
oh fuck,
Norway.
Why are you in Norway?
You have to go to Norway.
It's my cousin. He married a Norwegian lady.
Oh,
she's really sweet, but I'm like terrified that I'm gonna go over there and they're gonna have me do mushrooms, and before I know it, like my ex-girlfriend's gonna be like lit on fire.
Mm-hmm. Also, kind of a remake, the movie.
Midsommar?
Yeah.
Of what?
I don't remember. I think it may have been called Midsommar.
Oh, really?
It's spelled differently, but it is.
Is there a sequel, or am I making that up?
No.
Not a sequel, but it is
midfall.
Yeah.
A remake in a way in that like there's a horror movie that takes place at that same festival at the same location.
Gotcha.
I should rewatch it when I'm not asleep.
Dude, the pagan?
That's why I think the only way you could physically rewatch
it. Yeah. Some of the stuff you say. But the pagan aspect to it is so dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, like paganism is cool. Art
style.
The old people kill themselves off the cliff.
Yeah.
That was fucking
metal. That's metal.
Hammer?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Super fucking metal.
Unreal.
Yeah.
All right, round out your team, Bob.
So you guys don't know this, but I'm a huge pussy.
No,
absolute
I knew that.
Bitch boy when it comes to horror movies. So I really don't go out of my way to see them too often unless it's something that I've heard that's great. I'll go see it, and I'll watch it once, and I'll be like, okay, that was a good movie, but I never want to see it again. So I was thinking about going horror comedy here, but I'll stay true to the list, and this may count, but I'm going to go Annihilation.
Okay, yeah.
Which is more sci-fi horror. A lot of people, this is kind of a polarizing movie. I feel like a lot of people do not like the ending at all. I liked it a lot. It's based on a book. I thought Natalie Portman was great in it. Mm-hmm. I think she's a fantastic actress.
Mm-hmm.
In there also, Oscar Isaac, the daddiest of the daddies.
Yeah.
Benedict Wong also pops in. What was that?
Jennifer
Jason Lee. Yeah. Tessa Thompson.
Yeah. That's right.
And it's a...
Tessa Thompson
sure
turned
it's
into
Alex
a tree.
Garland. It's Alex Garland, right?
Yeah, it's Alex Garland.
Alex Garland, who also did Ex Machina, which I love that movie,
He's got another movie coming out.
Yeah, Men.
Men,
Looks...
sick.
I mean, it looks great.
Sorry. Sometimes I get Ex Machina and The Lobster confused.
No, they're in the same vein.
The Lobster was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That
I don't know if that's
if you fell asleep during Midsommar, I would never imagine you watching The Lobster.
That might be a movie that just it went over your head.
Yeah, you didn't get it.
Sorry. The Lobster was
I heard the movie was awesome.
It is horrible.
I love that movie.
I will fight to the death. It was so bad.
It's you need to know what you're going into before you watch.
I know
the
what it's about, but yeah, I was getting a drink with like my friend. He said that The Lobster. We started talking about it. He said The Lobster fucking was awesome.
He's probably
I love that movie, but I also love Colin Farrell. So
yeah,
you know what I always think? Like, do you guys ever like? I guess you too, but and like Kendrack and Jeff Lowe from like you ever sit down and are like. All right, like, I want to watch a movie, and then you think, oh, fuck, can't. I've seen them all. I've seen literally every movie.
No, there's always movies you've never seen. Like, the other day I watched John Carpenter's Ghosts on Mars, which is a movie I've never seen before. Just some random 2000
but
shitty.
But that's
porn
how
movie.
Far. That's my point. That's yeah. how far down you have to go.
I'll be honest.
To see a movie that you've never seen.
Yeah.
Before.
I'm usually like, I should probably watch this movie I've never seen.
That happens to me.
But
a lot.
Instead, I'm gonna watch Walk Hard again.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot too. Same exact scenario.
I'm gonna watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Like, I should watch this new Netflix movie, and I'm like, I could do that, or I could watch like Rock and Roller or something, or something else I want to see. All right, so Annihilation off for me. I need to pick a sports movie. A lot of good ones still on the board. Almost all of them, I feel like, that I would have in my top grouping. But I'm gonna kind of cheat a little bit and pick Caddyshack. Caddyshack.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
One of the best comedies yep. ever yes. made. And I get to get it thanks to the great sport of golf. RIP to the great one himself, Rodney Dangerfield. What did he put? He has a very funny tombstone, Rodney Dangerfield. I think it says, like, there goes a neighborhood or something on his tombstone. And he's just an absolute goddamn treasure.
Now I want to know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it is There Goes a Neighborhood, like in quotes, on his tombstone. But yeah, I feel like that's a good way to cheat my way into getting one of the greatest comedies.
Yeah, ever. That one of my favorite lines ever is "Nice hat. Does that come with a bowl of soup?"
Yep.
That shit was
there
so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's so timeless, timeless movie. Another great movie is the guy who, I think the guy who wrote that, they made a movie about him, right? That Will Forte was in.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Incredibly Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Stupid Gesture, yeah.
Which I liked.
Very good movie.
Yeah. I mean, Will Forte is awesome.
Very good. LCB interviewee,
Will Forte. I'm thinking about all the one-liners Rodney Dangerfield had in Caddyshack.
So many great ones.
I bet you were a looker before electricity.
Yeah. Hey, your boat scratched my anchor.
Oh, my God, man. He's so good.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, round out the draft with Mr. Irrelevant.
So sports movies are my least favorite genre of movie, which
what?
I still might be surprising because I like
sports. And you work at Barstool Sports?
Yeah. Fair. I dude. Hate sports movies.
You just hate movies,
them.
Bro.
No, I like a lot of movies. I can't remember movies. I like them. I hate sports movies. I find them boring. I don't like. To me, like, I'd rather just watch a sport or a movie.
Do you okay. find them? Do you find them boring, or do you just get offended by like the thing with me is I think sports movies are really bad when they try to show the
like
sport
actually
because
sport.
It just doesn't. It doesn't work. It just
it never it looks doesn't. Real.
Yeah. No. But. So I hated Rudy is maybe my least favorite movie of all time. No offense, Rudy.
No offense
I just
to Large
hate
either.
The movie Rudy.
Who's in the movie Rudy?
Yeah,
I feel like you're only saying that because I'm here.
Oh yeah, I think Rudy's bad.
Rudy's extremely overrated.
I'm deciding. So I like Coach Carter.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love that. I watched that so many times in middle school. It's crazy.
That was
your
the
high
first
school,
sports movie I ever watched. All right, this one's not so bad. But I mean, if you're gonna leave this for me on the board, I'm gonna fucking take Rocky. I mean,
okay.
It's the most classic like sports movie of all time.
You might. I'm gonna say this right now. Just looking at the draft, you might win just by getting Rocky, Mr. Relevant, because like the Twitter heads are gonna go ballistic over that. Like they're gonna get so mad for it going.
I almost feel bad to. It's. I mean, I like Rocky a lot. Mm-hmm. Like I want to almost take a more personal pick, but you're gonna leave Rocky on the board for me. Like,
do you remember Rocky?
Yeah, I know. Oh, Adrian. No,
who does he fight?
Name a scene. Yeah, who does he fight?
Drago.
In Rocky IV, yeah.
There's no way.
Creed.
I mean,
oh my God. Yeah,
I don't fucking remember movies.
Can we take
you
away his pick?
I remember him walking up.
I feel like we had to put Rocky IV now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's too bad. You gotta get
I remember
Rocky
him running up which, the stairs to Gonna Fly Now. I
you haven't
the,
seen Rocky, bro.
I've seen Rocky. I remember the scene where he's chugging the egg yolk or whatever. Yep. That stuck with me. Yes. I don't remember movies. I can't stress enough, but I know when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a fucking great movie.
I think we're giving Rocky. Him Rocky
IV. I think we
because he misremembered it as the Rocky IV villain, so I think we're going to have
look,
to...
Look, this isn't who can remember what movies.
Tommy, I'll be honest, Rocky IV fucking rules.
That's one of the greatest training montages. That's, I think, the best training montage.
I don't remember what... Yeah. I've seen, I think, three Rockies. I don't know which one I haven't seen.
Well, you don't know any. You don't know a thing about any of the Rocky. To them, you just like know of Rocky.
Yeah. Hey, yo,
it's
Adrian,
Italian guy. Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
You know what I thought that's you right. were going to pick? I was trying to guess since your picks have really surprised me throughout. I had this weird feeling you were going to pick Waterboy.
Oh,
I wasn't thinking comedy like Benchwarmers. I like Miracle. That would have been my other
okay.
One.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
Miracle. Miracle makes you just feel
great speech.
Patriotic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Miracle's good.
Again.
I'll be honest, I was bluffing that whole time. I haven't seen any Rocky movie.
What?
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Fuck you.
You haven't either.
Yes, I have. I don't remember them.
That means you haven't. If you don't remember it, then how do you know
I
you've even seen
it? I remember Yo Adrian. I remember drinking the
that's
egg
like
yolk.
One line that's like a bit.
I remember him beating the
Adrian.
Fucking meat in the freezer
okay,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
He definitely didn't jerk off at any chickens. Point during this. Yeah.
What?
Chasing the chickens.
Yeah.
He chases
Sounds
the chicken
familiar,
around.
But
I don't remember him jerking off at any part. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Was it nominated for Best Picture or just Best Screenplay?
Best Screenplay and something. Because that's something, and I remember when we interviewed one of the Duplass brothers, they mentioned this too, which I didn't really even ever think about. That was like an indie film. Yeah. Rocky was an indie movie. Like, it was independently made, distributed, all that stuff, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, he was like a nobody.
Yeah, he was literally doing porn.
But like, speaking of the Duplass brothers, my other pick for horror, if I didn't get out, was going to be Creep.
That's a great movie.
I love Creep, and that's an under the radar. Like, mm-hmm. again, Duplass I haven't seen that many horror movies. That one, have you seen that?
Really? No, I haven't.
That guy, that's Mark Duplass who plays him. He is such a great, actually creepy face in that movie throughout the entire time. That
Creep
look.
2, pretty good too, but not as good as Creep.
Yeah,
well, what's it about?
It's hold on, let me see what I
right, oh, yeah, no, I was about to say, but like, no, you do it.
It's something like they're in a house in the woods and like they're making a movie or some shit, and this guy is
on
like
the right track.
He's like, I think he's pretending to be the director, but he's like a killer.
Yeah.
It's something like that.
You're close enough for him.
What's wrong with me?
You're close enough. I'm giving you a pass. But
It wouldn't be a big deal if you didn't have like the most nails memory for everything else.
It's my brain. I should like get it checked out.
You know, it's like, you know, on iPhones when they show like your storage and it's like 80% photos. Your iPhone storage, if it were your body, would be like 99%
like MLB.
MLB or like what I did on
my life. Yes, like your Yankees, life. Like I'm pretty good with sports trivia, like, and but like movies.
0.1% is dedicated to movies.
Yeah,
there's a new dozen category. I think it was like describe the scene where where this gets played or something. That would be my worst category. Yeah.
But
of
if there was a category of what did Tommy Smokes do in July 13th, 2012, you would be the best player.
Right.
Yeah.
What did Tommy Smokes do on September 11th, 2012? Curious. If you have such a photographic memory.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I do remember I was with my aunt. My aunt was watching me. I remember like in my living room watching her like freak out at the news.
Why? What happened?
It's very similar to my what happened to me too. I was in my living room.
I feel like most people have a pretty similar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God,
pretty much
day.
The same.
Yeah.
You mentioned indie films. You know, I found out recently Twilight was an indie film. The first one.
Really? Yeah. That had to have a huge budget though, didn't it?
It was, I forget who was recently interviewing Kristen Stewart, and they were like, something you never say that I feel like you should is like that Twilight was an indie film. And she's like, yes. She's like, I always want to like defend it and say that it was.
Wow,
but she's like, but I don't, I never get the chance to really say
someone
anything.
Entertainment.
I'm so happy entertainment. For those two.
Twilight.
Yes.
She treated him like a dog.
Also, like, that explains the graphics a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The $37 million on that budget. Yeah, I thought it would be way more. That's crazy. $401 million back. That's still, I think, one of the people always like say, like, whatever the funniest bullshit Trump tweet is. The actual best one is when he would make fun of Kristen Stewart on Twitter.
Yeah.
Be like, she treats him like a dog.
Yeah. Those are hilarious.
Be smart, Robert.
Yeah. Be smart, Robert. Don't be there. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's our final teams. Enrique, you have The Others, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Waiting for Guffman, Dodgeball in Brooklyn. Rudy, you have 40-Year-Old Virgin, Interstellar, Big Lebowski, Training Day, and Midsommar. Bob, you have Inglourious Basterds, Lord of the Rings 1, Walk Hard, Moneyball, and Annihilation. I have Parasite, Superbad, Lord of the Rings 3, The Shining and Caddyshack. Tommy, you have Get Out, The Dark Knight, all Jason Bateman movies, but highlighted by Game Night, The Martian, and Rocky IV. You're gonna get fucking made fun of for the Rocky IV thing, but
I mean, I said Rocky I, I just couldn't remember.
I don't know who's a favorite in that.
This is gonna be very hard.
Ken Jack, your list is like star set. In my opinion, like
the
star
cinephiles are definitely
like,
gonna go for Enrique. That is for sure. For the people who watch movies.
You had the most knowledgeable picks for sure.
Yeah, I just picked the ones I like, and I was like, I have to talk about these because I don't get a chance.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Tommy's going through this list.
10 of them. All right.
Yeah.
That's not bad
for like a 25-pick draft. Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. Well, fellas, thanks for joining in and doing this little draft. I think we should do this more just so we can get a better read, because like I would have no idea. Like Enrique would love these movies, or Rudy would love these, or Tommy would love these. We could drag in other people from the office too and figure out what type of movies they like.
Yeah. No, this should work out.
And switch it to favorite instead of best or something like that.
Let us know, audience.
I'm going to say pat on the back for all of us. We didn't, just go for like, let's just win the graphic.
Yeah.
Pick all the best movies. Like we put a little personal spin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do have a confession that I actually didn't know how a draft works, so I was I thought we were just naming movies we liked. And
no, that's
genres.
Even better though.
That kind of is what it is.
But it's been great to learn what a draft is. I'm taking something away from this whole experience.
There you go. That's Barstool Sports, baby. All we do is draft and do sports.
I mean, a draft is just things you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. It could be best, but like in this case, I feel like we blended the lines a little bit. But I think we all ended up with really good teams. All right, so fellas, thanks for joining in. We will be back with an episode of the bracket in a couple days. I think we have an interesting one on deck that Nick thought of, so we're gonna have fun with that. But until then,
have a good week at the box office, folks.